Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
There are three groups. There's three groups, two opinions. There are the people who are in love and happy. And so Valentine's Day is just a nice night. It's just like, we're just going to pick a nice night to get maybe a little dressed up, spend a little bit extra money, go to a place we wouldn't ordinarily go to, give each other some gifts, and maybe do anal. And then there are the people who are bitter and alone, who are like, fuck this holiday, it's stupid.
Yes.
And then there are people who are like, are together, but not in love and not like happy about it, who are just like, we've been around forever. You're just like in a rut. And they're also like, fuck this holiday. And from both of those camps, you'll get the people who are like, this is just nothing but a fabricated day by the greetings card company and the chocolate industry in order to raise their blah, blah, blah. And it's probably all true.
I like that when John was like, because the caller said it's a made up holiday. And he said, all holidays are
all of them are made up. Every fucking holiday you celebrate, they're all rooted in maybe some sort of tradition or an event or a ceremony.
That was made up. It was just made up longer ago.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess, you know, we got our independence on this day. So, and I know it wasn't the exact day, but that was the idea behind the holiday.
Right.
Thanksgiving is, you know, before we massacred all of the fucking Native Americans right. One time we ate
but
dinner
with them.
But
it's still just making but up this a, is, a time yeah, to honor
to do
a
something.
Thing.
Right.
It's like, well,
this
all right,
is the time
you're
to honor love.
Love.
Yeah.
I mean,
and, you know, it should be like, you should do this every day of the year. And, like, fuck all that, though. I'm not going to get you flowers every day.
You don't want flowers every day.
No, you don't want to do all these things every day because then that's the ultimate anti-male time. The bar is set way too high if you got to – I mean, what do you do on the special days then if you're doing flowers and hotels and fancy dinners and kinky sex? I mean, nobody wants that. The guys don't want to spend the money. The girls don't want to certainly perform any of the acts that the guys are expecting. I don't even know if the guys ever expect that anymore.
I feel like there was a time
when I was young and hopeful where it was like, well, listen, yeah, we're going to go out and do this, but then we're going to go home and do that. And then you realize, nah, that's just
early on in a relationship, no matter what.
Yes.
You take a girl out on a random day. You take her out for her birthday.
You impress her. You dress up.
It's 2 years into the relationship. You've got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not, it's just, you've been around for 10 years. It's just like, well, that may happen on one of these days out of the year. But it doesn't have, it's not guaranteed on anyone.
And then, you know, the shame of it all, it's like, you should probably 10 years, 15 years, 20 years in, you probably should like still be able to get up for it and literally maybe and do all these nice things, but it's just not realistic.
Well, I think it's not realistic because of scheduling. Like it will hopefully happen in a good relationship at some point in time, but you can't just be like, it's the 14th of February. That's the day we're going to lock in. Like it just doesn't work out schedule wise.
Brandon Walker, veteran move of the game. He goes on the 15th. So they're going to go out on the 15th. When there's no crowds, when you get the reservation, when the prices aren't gouged up.
I texted my wife because my mother-in-law is coming to town, and I was like, well, so since we have someone to watch the kids, do you want to go out for Valentine's Day? And she was like, I want to go out, but not on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're either going to do the 13th, the 15th, the 16th, or something like that, because we just have a babysitter for once. So I'm like, all right, we can actually do something.
And why do it when there's all, you know, these young couples or,
what we really need is for her to take the kids out, and we can just sit on the couch and drink wine and watch, like, anything.
Yep.
Literally anything.
Go to sleep.
Just, like,
just go to bed. Like, what are you doing for Valentine's Day?
That would be amazing.
I'm going to bed with my wife. To sleep, motherfucker. Going to bed. Lights out. So
sleep.
Love is
I
in
miss
the air.
Sleep so much.
Love is in the air, and it's a time of it's basically celebrating couples is really what
true
Valentine's Day is. Like here is a day to celebrate the institution of the couple.
Right.
And there's no better example.
Because it isolates, like, you know, friends. Like, if you have, like, a big friend group, and some people are couples, but you usually all do things together, it's like Valentine's Day. It's like, no.
Just couple off.
Yeah.
Everybody's just trying to find that one person.
If you're, like, that third wheel that just, like, hangs out with a couple.
Like, that's fine all the other times, but, like, not tonight.
Absolutely not.
Right.
And even if, like, the couple's been together a long time, and they're like, no, come with us. We don't want you to be sad that the third wheel is like, absolutely not.
No, they know.
They need to punish themselves.
Valentine's Day is actually,
for not being in a relationship.
Valentine's Day is actually, should be called like third wheel awareness day. Like, that's when everybody has their self-awareness to be like, I've been bothering you guys all year long. Because you knew enough to stay out of their plans this time.
This day.
But like,
you should probably be staying out of their plans.
You know when your husbands are probably like, or boyfriends are like, you're bothering us. Guess what? You're going to bother me on the 15th and the 16th and the 17th also. It should just be one goddamn day per year. Oh, but, you know, we as a society love to know and to see other couples and relationships from The Bachelor. We got Big Daddy Trent on the second half of this episode.
Out some news after we recorded.
After recording, we find out that Big Daddy Trent got tweeted by Chris Harrison, the host of The Bachelor, saying The Bachelor ratings were up 13%, and it's because of Barstool Trent.
So we were alluding to that, but we didn't have that information when we were recording.
So yeah, bear in mind, as I talk to Trent and I tell him that he is on a fucking one-way trip to the fucking moon as a Bachelor superstar, well now, as soon as the recording ended, as soon as the interview was over, we got the hardcore proof that the executives and the producers and the stars of the show were saying...
I mean, 14%, that's a lot.
It's a huge... I don't even know if you can attribute that much of a number to him, but it's also not a coincidence that,
but
like...
I didn't really hear... I don't know, maybe it was because I was like... had blinders on for just Trent news, but I didn't hear anything else about the episode.
It's just getting down to like the hometown.
I don't know. That just seems
still
like a big
random
jump.
Number. It's almost like the next ones are when they visit the families and shit. That's when it pops off.
Right.
This one to pop off. There was one reason and one reason only, and it was because Trent Ryan was on that fucking episode. and then Christina Schulman tweeted at him.
Oh boy. I didn't know that.
She said, welcome to the fam.
This is good. You're closer. Closer.
Well, so, okay. So she tweeted at Trent after Chris Harrison sent his tweet saying, like, things are up 13%. And she said...
Did she ever come in? Did she come in when we were doing After Party?
No. Yeah, she just said, welcome to the fam. So I quote tweeted it with a frowny face. I've been cucked by my boy Trent. To which then she and Trent being the absolute ever wholesome guy that he is, he was like, no, come on, man. She said, welcome to the fam. That means I'm like friend zoned,
right.
You know? And then she tweeted back at me saying, I heard you were the exit car driver. Welcome to the fam for you too. That would be another bit role as like, I'm the guy who drives the girls away. And I appreciate the effort, you're just making me look even worse.
Right.
It's like, but no, I'm not. And I don't want to be in that fam and just marry me. What's going on here? Just fucking marry me, okay? Is that so much to ask? So, you know, I would have just canceled the whole goddamn interview if I had known Trent was going to be cucking my girl. Fucking jerk. But whether it's people watching The Bachelor or keeping up with their celebrity gossip, the world, and guys and girls, the world is intrigued by other people's romance in a weird way. And guys can deny it all they want. I remember there was like a moment that some of the Barstool like trolls had a realization on our Reddit page where like, I mean, when shit goes down with me, when sex tape of Dave leaks, when there's a breakup or a new person involved in the Barstool world, that page goes fucking bananas.
Right.
And those are the guys and those are the – so like you realize that everybody has their guilty pleasure.
Yep.
And it even can translate into the guys who are like all about sports or all about like tough guy shit. But they'll be like, yo, who's he fucking or what are they dating or they broke up. Everybody has an inherent interest in – other people's
sex lives. That's the one thing
we've
kept at bay. That's the one thing that we have not been like, let's make, like, you know, like Logan Paul and Jake Paul, they'll be like, let's have an entire fake
relationship. Yeah.
And maybe like sometimes a real relationship, but we're willing to put it all on camera. And even if everybody knew that they were going to date for like 6 months, they say, I love you immediately.
Yeah.
They have a huge breakup after 6 months when they both are probably like, I mean, it was nice fucking you because you're hot.
Yeah.
But
and we all made some money.
Nobody really cares.
Viewers.
But we made a couple million dollars.
I mean, if
we don't really exploit any of that.
If you're
and everybody
willing
wants to,
keep
that all private.
That's the thing.
Right.
If you're willing to, it is the single greatest piece of content you can give people,
right,
is like look behind the curtain of our sex lives, of our private lives, of our ups, of our downs.
Right.
I mean, you know, there have been people, myself included, who have put their relationship out there, not as like a vehicle for content. I was just like, this is the life I lead and this is the person I'm with. If you want to make an honest effort and be like, we're going to go on dates and film it. We're going to, you know, you're going to see us like go to the fantasy suite, close the bedroom door and you know what's happening.
And I mean,
that would be the greatest soap opera of all Barstool's history.
I'm convinced too, that all this stuff happens in real life and then gets recreated for the camera. Like all the fights you see with the Kardashians, like when they
the
fight,
drama's real, but
they turn, I think that the cameras are off and then they're like, we have to redo that fight. And like, maybe I won't even go as hard as I went on you.
Because a lot of times you'll see fights or drama where it's like, I yell and then you yell and then it's point and rebuttal. And it's like, that's not how it goes. No. It's like, shut the fuck up. I'm talking right now.
And it's like,
that doesn't make for good TV.
Right.
But if you are like, if a producer's like, hey, remember, that fight that you had about that boy?
So that's why I'm saying you could keep it private. Like, you know, two people in the office are dating and they get in a fight in their apartment. And it's just like, yo, just like do that in front of the cameras. And nobody wants to admit it. The Reddit page doesn't want to admit it. Stoolies will be like, nah, fuck that. I don't want to see about these guys. And it's just like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
That would be, one of the number one streams, number one most watched things. We've talked about guys here being like doing a Barstool Bachelor. People would love it. And there's a reason why The Bachelor gets 30 million views and the like 90 Day Fiance and the first kiss people. That footage of those virgins who were kissing where they're like slobbering all over each other. People have a gross, deep-rooted, I want to, morbid curiosity on other people's sex lives. It's just how the world works. I don't even necessarily know why. It's like, it's the quote-unquote girl or whatever version of, like, I don't care about your fantasy team. I don't care about your, why should I care about your relationship? Like, I'm not the one having sex with you. I'm not the one in the fight with you. I'm not the one happily married to you. Why do I care? But people, they ship for these things. You know that phrase? That's a weird one.
They ship?
Ship. Yeah. Like they'll, it's almost like I stan. I think it's like I ship.
I have not heard
I
that.
I ship Brad and Jen. And it's like you want them to be a thing. You like are obsessed with them as a couple.
Is it short for relationship?
I think so. I think it's like, I want to say it almost came from like a fantasy novel sort of thing. It's like some nerd shit. Let me see exactly the term. Ship. What should I do? Like ship. Relationship meaning, so shipping is the desire by fans for two or more people, either in real life or fictional characters, to be in a romantic relationship.
Okay.
So like I ship John and Danny, like I want
right, got it. But so not usually used for when they are together.
Both. It's like I think
once
you
they're together,
to
you're
be,
like, I'm for this relationship. Okay, got it. Okay.
And it is like short
and
for
something
ship.
New.
Yeah. I learned about it from Game of Thrones. So I want to say it's more of a nerdy thing than it is like a gossipy thing.
Okay.
But yeah, people ship like fucking Ross and Rachel from Friends,
right.
But I've always thought more about the greatest couples that never were, the couples that never made it. And, we're going to break them down today. The greatest couples, the people that should get back together, the people that never should have broken up, the people that were perfect fits from the beginning. And I'll start off in no particular order, but I'm starting off with the one that kind of arguably could have said launched it all and now has come back around. And that's Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
The original just like best looking people combo ever.
Yep.
She was Rachel. He was everything in all the movies. And they were just like they had super perfectly hot sex. And
was
they were
he at like his pinnacle? Was he in a movie at that exact time?
I mean, you can't say.
He
I
was
mean,
just like the heartthrob.
I don't think Brad Pitt might be at his pinnacle right now. To be honest, like it depends on
he's
what you
on
think.
A 25-year dominance. Like maybe you could occasionally say this guy might be the hottest guy at that time, but he's always like top three.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like,
no, absolutely.
For 25 years,
Brad Pitt is the LeBron of like. The world's sexiest man contest.
Right.
Like, he should win it every year until he's dead, basically.
Right.
But we got to spice it up and give it to, like, John Legend or Blake Shelton.
Right.
But if you're talking about just, like, sex appeal, it's Tyler Durden, bro. It's fucking.
He's fucking put John Legend next to Brad Pitt. John Legend, great dude.
Yeah.
Like, but come on.
And even he would admit it. You know
what
I mean?
But it's been legit 20 years where you're like, what's the equivalent of the hottest of the hot.
He almost gets thrown in as like, well, yes, Brad Pitt, but like who's the guy right now? It's like it's always been Brad Pitt.
Who's the guy of the moment?
Now, I was thinking about that the other day because
he's definitely in his pinnacle too because he just won the Oscar.
He's newly I actually read an article. I read an article or part of an article. I think it was Slate because he's done the GQ one and he's done, I think, the Times did an expose, and they were talking about him and Jen, and they said, it said, like, the America loves a flawed, failed man on the comeback,
okay,
more so than just like a good female.
Okay.
It's, wow. Which is kind of unfair, but it's kind of true. Yeah. You know, like the intrigue of the comeback versus like Jennifer Aniston has just been like, she's been like a nice woman. She's been like a good, healthy, happy girl who has bounced around a couple of relationships, but she was the one wronged by him. She's had like, she, you know, she hasn't done anything wrong or anything.
Right.
But,
right,
you know, people gravitate towards like the Brad side of things because he's on this comeback. I mean, yo.
Yeah. But listen, I mean, she has to have some flaws. Like, I mean, it didn't work out with Justin Theroux either. Yeah, like, but it seems like she's like one of the most gorgeous women in the world, and she can't hold down a man.
Right, but it's inferred. There's not like, like, people know about Brad Pitt's like shortcomings, you know.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't want to throw any shade at my gazelle, but like he skated real fucking like easily.
He
came out and was just like, I got like addiction issues. And there was that whole story about like
he not being good with the kids, right?
Well, it was like a story where you like hit one of them on a plane, and like nobody talks about that.
Right.
And I don't know whether it's just because he's pretty, or maybe there was not as much truth to that story, or maybe they were smart, him and Angelina, whatever the issues were, they just wanted to squash them and like, let's have this divorce.
Right.
But like, nobody is talking. It's a comeback, but he didn't ever really hit the bottom.
Right.
Like,
right.
Maybe personally, you know, he got a divorce and he's got to, like, you know, figure out things
with
his kids.
He did not publicly pay the price.
There was no cancel of Brad Pitt where he, like, lost a movie role. I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He was probably filming Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when it happened.
Right.
Put it out, won the Oscar. So it is, I think the story there is not one of, like, we love a redemption arc.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we give free passes to people who are good-looking and fucking awesome. Like, Brad Pitt's just the fucking man, and you're inclined to be like, well, I don't know, like, something must happen,
something
but it's okay,
happened.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but when he, the when I realized just how much, like, influence and power Brad Pitt has, because he's pretty, like, a pretty mild-mannered guy. Like, he's not always out there, and he's not loud. And,
yeah.
But, like, he grabbed a girl's hand, and the tabloids went crazy.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was Jennifer Aniston's hand.
Right,
it was the perfect setting.
And it was the perfect picture.
It was the perfect
exact time.
She was
time.
Walking away. He was pulling her in. They're both single for the first time. They both get to, like, and they fucked that night.
I'm sure.
You have to. It's like any, think about regular couples. If a guy and a girl and ex run into each other and they both happen to be single and there's really no reason not to.
Right.
And the girl doesn't care because it doesn't add a body to her count. And the guy is thinking about, I already know like all the right buttons to push.
And
you're super sexy, super hot. You both just won awards. They had to fuck that
They're
night.
Both so good looking. Even though Brad Pitt is so good looking that he can have any woman he wants, Jennifer Aniston is also so good-looking that he's like, well, this is what I would choose also.
But, well, you know, you say that, but, like, I mean, if he's going to get, like, crass about it, he'd probably be like, no, I mean, I want, the 25-year-old over there. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
You would pick Jennifer Aniston over just, like, the over, like, Emily Ratajkowski?
I think that has so much more appeal. Well, not necessarily. No, if there's, like, another celebrity who's also very attractive, I could understand that. But it's just not a random 25-year-old.
Right, but
who's
Brad
just
Pitt
happened to be hot.
You know. Like, if Brad Pitt's in that room, you know, with all the other stars,
mm-hmm.
probably, if he's going to be.
It's a coin flip, but you're right. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
It's not absolutely.
If he's talking about just, you know, if he's talking about the nostalgia of it all and that shit, that's where it comes into play. But that was
the
OG. And, I mean, again, you think about, like, Brad Pitt skated on the original one, too. Like, did a movie and got, like, plucked away by the hot, like, you know, sultry actress. And it was like, well, that's okay because she's also a hot celebrity. So we're like that couple, too.
Yeah, like,
so
Brangelina was, like, celebrated.
Right.
It was like, whoa.
Jennifer Aniston was probably sitting at home like, what the fuck, guys? What the fuck? And honestly, the lesson there, I don't care who you are, how hot you are, whatever. If you let your man be in a movie with a hot chick, you're crazy. It's just not like, especially Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's like, we're going to get these two hot people together and it's going to be sexual and violent and crazy. And like, guess what's going to happen? They're going to fuck. And that's something that you either just have to like accept as you're in the world of Hollywood or just start looking for a new husband if you're going to let that happen.
I mean, but it was, I think she probably was like, well, maybe Angelina will be like, you know, the Black Widow sexual predator and they'll fuck. But I don't think that Jen thought that she was going to adopt all of Africa, foster a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And then she skated on that too. Like, that was like, And I don't really think that anybody would approve that now.
That's probably part of why, like, you know, maybe the other stuff didn't work out, because she was just sitting around fuming about the people who just wrecked her Hollywood life.
Yeah,
like, she had the dream, you know, like, situation. But you could make the argument now that there are probably people who want definitely Brad and Jen, but maybe even Angelina as well. That's some gazelle shit. Yeah. When you have multiple, like, oh, I wish that they made it together with this other superstar Hollywood, like, starlet.
Yeah.
That's,
I think he dated Gwyneth Paltrow, too.
Yeah, that was, like, the original
Real
one.
Early, yeah.
Well, he's the king. You ever see that that picture of Brad Pitt always looks like his girlfriend's?
Yes.
Which is scary.
That's
he
so
always
weird.
Has, like, very feminine hair that matches,
that matches
Gwyneth
yeah.
and Jennifer and Brad, Angelina and, like, everybody he's ever dated. He looks like them. It's wild. It takes the form of his, like, prey.
Very strange.
So they're like, you know, the probably the pinnacle. And especially there's, like, a good white couple for, like you know, white celebrity gossip people to like, you know. Now, on the other side of things, me being, you know, growing up in a time where I was black KFC, longing to be a young urban youth, the it couple for me that never made it and always was and should be is Puffy and J-Lo.
Mm.
Puffy and J-Lo were, like, the fucking coolest. And J-Lo's a bit of a chameleon, right? She can be like, I'm going to be Latin America J-Lo. I'm going to be Jenny from the Block, Jenny on the Six. I'm going to be, you know, now this, like, A-Rod, like sportsy J-Lo.
Yeah, yeah.
She's done it all. She did the Mark Anthony thing, was like, we're going to go dominate, like, all of South America and Latin America mm-hmm. and, like, the rest of the world. But when she was J-Lo, like, J-Lo fucking in living color, headband on,
that,
like,
white
big fat butt in the white jeans,
yeah.
the midriff out with Puffy next to her.
She could probably still
Yankee
pull that off right now.
Goddamn right. She could pull off whatever she pulled off 20 years ago. She looks exactly the fucking same.
Exactly.
If not better. But Puffy running around town, like, king of Bad Boy Records, like, all the street cred in the world, the two New Yorkers, like, Harlem and the Bronx. Making
See,
music.
But she tried to play like she was Jenny from the Block, but as soon as shit popped off.
As soon as the block got hot, Shine takes the gun rap, because Puffy was, you know, running around town pretending to be a gangster, and all of a sudden it was like, your Q rating is going to go down a lot, honey,
right.
if you're running around with
She's
an actual
like,
gangbanger.
You know, headed
Puffy,
up here.
Puffy was perfect, like, playing in that realm of, like, you know, we're like hardcore hip-hop. But we're actually more like Mo' Money, Mo' Problems over here, you know?
Right.
We're not like gangbangers.
Well, I thought it was out of character for him to be involved in any of that, too. I thought he was trying to keep his nose clean.
Right. Well, I mean, he was and he did. He just made Shine take the fall.
Right.
Is Shine still in jail?
I don't think so. I think
he got
out. Yeah, I think he got out, but I want to say he got deported. I think they kicked him out of the country.
Puffy kicked him out of the country. That's a guy who... Like, they paid off, and I'm sure had a bag waiting for him when he got out of his
him
shit,
and,
out of his bin.
Lance on Rivera, wherever they are.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
They're
about him.
They're just, like,
yeah.
on
But that
an
was, like,
together.
A, I can't trust that you're going to keep your mouth shut forever.
Right.
So, like, maybe here's some more money, or maybe we just stuff you in the back of a fucking, like, prop plane, and we just take you to another country, and you can't get back in.
Yeah.
And, like, and now you can't even, like, do an interview.
I'm not sure if that's true. It feels like that's what happened.
Yeah, I could see there being an extra step to make sure that Shine's gone. But that, to me, J-Lo was at, like, her peak hotness in my mind. It was back when, like, ass was becoming a thing.
Yeah,
like,
well,
fat
she,
asses
I mean,
was the girl,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So he had, like, the it girl. I feel like Senorita was, like, about her, right? And then, like, you lose that because you were running around, like, pretending to be a gangbanger.
Yeah. And then she
That's
goes super
hurt.
Safe with, like, the whitest white boy.
And
he goes back to... His long term, or maybe did he have kids by then? With Kim Porter, I think he went back to her, and he was just like,
"Well." And then he kidnapped Cassie,
right? I think that was, like, kind of going on at the same time.
So. Yeah, Cassie was, like,
you know, Cassie,
not allowed to, like, be like famous anymore. It was like, "You're mine." That's it.
Cassie's, I think his name is Ryan Leslie. He's
oh, yeah.
a songwriter.
Oh yeah, we're gonna do an entire episode of Mail Time on Ryan Leslie, the most underappreciated musician, maybe.
But
since
you know
Mozart.
That he was with Cassie,
yeah,
and just,
Puffy
boom.
Just
was like, "You're with me."
And guess what, Ryan Leslie did? Like, okie dokie. Like, that's some Prima Noctis shit. Where it's just like,
yes,
I mean,
you are.
I wish you didn't pick it, but I almost understand it. It'd be like, I mean, Cassie is like, I think she's like Asian, black, white, she's like everything,
and
the
I think
the hottest
just,
chick ever.
Yeah, I think they just put her on a shelf. They were like, "We don't want you to be a star.
Right.
You're so hot.
You're,
I just want
you're
you.
Just Puffy's now. You just belong.
Yeah, like a literal trophy wife."
And Ryan Leslie was left to make fucking beats with solo cups and pennies in his fucking. You ever see that video?
I don't think
I am
saw
obsessed
that
with videos of producers making beats.
Yeah,
but Ryan Leslie is one of those guys. He plays every instrument and he like presses record, plays this, presses record, plays. but that it all comes together. And one of them, he takes a solo cup full of pennies like you have before you go to Coinstar, and he just like shakes it on the table, and it sounds perfect.
I think it was Ryan Leslie. I saw him like order like same day delivery of like a mini trumpet. It's like a, it looks like a trumpet, but it's like this big.
And, it's like
and it comes to him, and he just like makes a song like within an hour. It involves, I don't know if he like Postmates the trumpet.
Musical genius.
Yeah.
Like if he was born in like the, yeah. When do you think Mozart was born? Give me a year. When did Mozart operate?
I really am not sure. 1700s? 1800s? I don't know.
I'm going to say 1690.
Entirely possible.
Let's see. What was his name? Wolfgang?
Wolfgang.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
We just
Mozart.
Covered 300 years. We guessed 16, and then I guessed 17 and 18.
Mozart death is 1791. Yeah, I figured 1700s was right, but I want to spice it up.
Mm. It could have been 16s.
But. Anyway, that could have been Ryan Leslie. If he was born in 1700s, would have been Mozart.
Mozart.
That spirals off into another one that most people will... Everyone will talk about Bennifer and Ben Affleck. Like, fuck that. Puffy's way more of like a better story than Ben Affleck. Yeah. That couple never made sense. No. That was another one. They did the movie together, and they just ended up like fucking.
Right.
Telling you.
Right.
Everybody in Hollywood fucks each other.
This was just like for the story, like the tabloids. Literally, like we gave it a name, but Puffy and J Lo are the ones that should have made it.
They were meant to be. Yeah. The only other greater musical couple that should have been is who? Who am I going to say?
Justin and Britney.
Done.
Okay. I was like, is there another? I thought maybe you had two?
For one reason only. The VMAs and the denim outfit. The matching denim cowgirl, cowboy outfit. Boy band. Leader of the boy band. Hottest bitch on the planet. I don't even need a girl group. I'm just my goddamn self. Mm-hmm. Teeny boppers promising to be virgins while they're just probably smashing everywhere.
Absolutely.
Like, now what we know about Britney Spears, knowing that she was like, kind of like a hillbilly, like, I don't give a fuck. I do what I want, and I went a little crazy.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it was going down.
Lost her virginity at, like, 8, yes. You know? I mean, the thought that at any point, all these groups and pop stars being like, I'm saving myself, and, I mean, I get it for business, but, like, Britney Spears were having anal sex at, like, 15, give me a fucking
Disney.
Break.
It's if you're in Disney, you have to be virgin until you're 25. That's, like, in your first contract.
And I totally understand, but it's also just, like, I think there was actually a period of time where people believed it, which is funny looking back.
Right.
It's, like, I mean, the girl's first song was Hit Me Baby One More Time in a schoolgirl outfit. Like, the immediate parody was Hit Me Baby From Behind. Like, she was singing that to Justin.
But isn't that funny that it's just, like, if you sign to Disney... You have to say these things, but we will let you make a video in a schoolgirl outfit being, like, as sexually suggestive as possible.
It's straight politics, man. It's like you can say one thing as long as you're doing another. As long as you say what's right, you're all good. But those two in the denim, there has never been a better couple's costume or whatever you want to call it than that. That right there, if those two could just, like, I don't know what – I feel like those two, like, never talk again. And it actually led to a very – the Cry Me a River –
yeah.
The two things that came out of that were the picture and the Cry Me a River song, and just the interesting dynamic of the girl being the one who cheated and blew it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He was the one who was like, fuck you.
Do we know specifically who she cheated
with? I think we do. I think that's like out there, or at least like rumored enough.
Yeah.
I want to say it was one of those guys, like, remember when she married that guy named Jason Alexander?
Yeah.
Like, he just happens to have George Cassandra's exact name. That always weirded me out. Britney cheated Justin. I feel like it was somebody, but it was like a guy that Justin Timberlake wrote Cry Me a River in 2 hours after he and Britney Spears broke up. That's funny. And then remember they made the video where like it looked exactly like Britney Spears.
Probably what made her go crazy.
I think it was just a choreographer, which I probably is one of those people that ended up marrying, like a hillbilly marriage, whatever.
And when did J-Lo married Chris Judd? Wasn't he a dancer?
I think she was married like five times.
I think that was before Ben Affleck?
Was she just like,
I just need someone to just like do absolutely everything I say because I can't.
Right, because it was always a famous guy. Mark Anthony, Puffy, now A-Rod. But in the middle, it was just like, you do my bidding. We're like little slave man. As that was going on, there was one girl that I thought had conquered like the unconquerable. I thought it was She almost accomplished what could never be done, and that was Minka Kelly with Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter being the guy who ran through all of Hollywood, the best of the best. And I remember thinking, what must Minka Kelly do for this guy to be, like, exclusive? Right. And I thought that was, like, I mean, they were together for a long time.
Were they really?
I feel like it. I mean, I, that to me, like, I remember thinking of them as, like, the you know, that was the couple.
Yeah. I like, looking back on it, I was like, the reason I think that they were going to make it together.
Well, 3 years. But in celebrity dog years, that's
Jeter,
like.
Jeter years. Yeah, yeah,
in Jeter years, that's decades.
But I was just like, she's just so pretty. Like,
so hot.
And I know that Jeter can do a lot of things, but I'm like, she is very, very pretty. I also thought that she was going to be more of like an it girl than she really ended up being. I thought that, well, like, she was going to.
That, I think, is part of the problem with. First of all, I did not know. So Minka Kelly's dad is an Aerosmith.
Oh.
He's the guitarist for Aerosmith. And I think she's kind of
like. The main. Joe Perry?
I don't think so. I don't think it's him. I think it's like the other guy. Okay. But I think she's kind of like a wild child, which I thought, like, that kind of came out. And I don't know if this is true or not. I believe, I don't know if this is even out there, but I had heard rumors that she was into, like, the paparazzi and into, like, the press.
Oh, definitely doesn't work for him.
And that he would, like, that she would almost, like, leak where they were going, or, like, if they were there, she would kind of soak it up. And, yeah, Jeets was like, nah, we don't do that. So I feel like she probably kept that at bay for a while, and then maybe, if that's even true, maybe eventually it started to rear its head.
I could see, like, Derek Jeter could have been head over heels in love with her, and if it was like,
you
want
my privacy, you're gone.
Yeah, that's he's not.
And then I mean, Jeets had the blueprint.
I still can't even believe what's Hannah Jeter now, right?
Oh yeah, she changed the name on Insta and everything. Right, she went full government name
because she was like basically an it girl,
famous in her own right,
but who was like, I'm willing to be. Like the princess here. Yes. Like, I will just be your.
Yeah, she was gonna have her own, like, career as the model girl, cover girl, and all that shit. And she's like, now I'm just gonna be Derek Jeter's wife.
Right.
But I mean, Jeter was always funny to me because, like, everybody always kind of joked about Jeter. Like, the day he retires, he's gonna get married. Like, as soon as he's done, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
It was like the day after he, like, proposed.
Right.
And it's like, okay, now I'll do it. Right. Which is funny because so many people should do that, but I think something must happen. And I don't know if it's biological, physiological, mental, if it's nature or nurture, but, like, to be single from, like, 25 to 35, it's, like, a problem for people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because everyone else is settling down and you feel like you're left out, or if there's some sort of certainly for girls,
for women,
but if there's
a
guy clock where you start to get lonely. But, like, the idea of, like, just wait, 10 years. Or
eight that's
years
what my
or whatever.
Career is. Yeah, where I make and you're many, still many millions
be,
of dollars.
You're still gonna be, but even if you're not famous, like I'm the wrong guy to talk about relationships these days, at least in the current form. But, like, I think everybody would probably be better suited to wait a little longer.
Yeah,
I think that people think they have things figured out by the time they're like 30, and I think you know
what the problem is. Everything is getting pushed back, right? Because you can meet more people. You can travel more.
More experiences.
Like, social media can just connect more people, but women still,
you
like,
have
there,
kids
there are
by
some,
the time they're 30 there, something.
There's
yeah.
some, like, technological advances, surrogates, but, like.
The day that society figures that out, science figures that out, society is great. Because if everybody can wait until they're 40, then it's all good.
Right. You should, like, first of all, they should just figure out birth control. We should have no more teen pregnancies. Just, like, that should be a right that's taken away from you. You have to be, like, 21 before you can even consider it. But also, it should be easy.
What? Anybody under 21 who has a kid gets aborted?
I think the guy.
forced abortion.
No, I think they should figure out birth control so you can't get pregnant.
It's not even mistake proof.
I want to give my daughter a shot right now at 18 months.
And it expires when she's 25.
Yeah.
Like, that's fair.
Maybe that doesn't expire. She just
imagine that, like, on her, like, 25th birthday, like, it's like the hourglass winds out. It's like, all right, you can get knocked out.
Guys should get vasectomies at 13 and reversals at 25.
Yeah.
And also, like, for real, it should just be easier, and we should get rid of the stigma of women freezing their eggs. Like,
just hang on to them for a little bit later.
And then
we'll cook it up in a petri dish and you're good to go.
Or a surrogate or whatever.
Or a lab inside a canister.
Because everybody's saying, 40 is the new 30. Everything is, like, people want to have fun later. But if you want to have kids, you kind of have to settle down. And I think, like, especially as the next generation comes up, like, I can't imagine all of that not progressing even further. Like, I think that, like, we're going to look back at a 35-year-old and be like, they're still a kid.
You're a baby.
Like, let them
well, if people are
going
to start
fun.
Living, you hear these scientists say people are going to live to 200.
Yeah.
So now midlife is 100.
Right.
So that means you're going to get married one third of the way into your first half of your life.
Right. Like, so everything needs to be pushed back, but they got to figure out a way that you can have kids later too.
But I also wonder if it's more than just that though, because, like, I think that if you have, here's the real deal. Starter marriages need to be a real thing. You need to be able. We need to destigmatize divorce, because you think about how you do it. Like, you get in a relationship, and it's like practice, right? You're like, you know, and then you break up with it. It's like, all right, so the next relationship, I'm going to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you finally reach an age and a relationship where you move in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you learn a little bit there. And maybe that doesn't work. And it's like, all right, the next time I like move in with a girl, it's going to have to be, you know, for real. And then all of a sudden you have to take this next step of marriage. But then you don't ever get practice at that. There's no practicing for marriage. That's supposed to be when you're done. And now, yes, everybody should do it in a mature, responsible way where you're ready. You're truly ready. But the amount of people who think they're ready and really mean it and believe it.
It literally is 50%. Like, as many people are not good
at this.
I
thought that. But it does seem to be more like you got to take it when you take into account all of marriages.
Like somebody
it's like,
getting divorced when they're in their 60s.
Or someone who got married in Vegas who gets a divorce and it's like, that was never even a real relationship. I think if you look at like people in your demo,
like
your age, it's probably not. It's not good.
It'd be interesting to look at what a failed marriage, like the percentage of like we were going to try and stick it out and we didn't make it nearly as far.
Right.
So like the people who like, you know, when you if you stay together for the kids and you get divorced in your 60s because you're just
that
like living a separate
really,
life, it's
yeah,
like, you know, it's not really failed or you know, whatever you want to call it. But I hear
the
you. But
idea
still,
of,
I don't think that the
it's not great.
It's like,
you know, I mean, it's still, let's say it's a third. And there's so many people who are like, I'm ready for this. And then you get involved in it and you're like, well, I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
And so now my next marriage, I'm going to, you know, do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get that like second chance at marriage, which I mean, it makes sense. You're not, you can't be like, all right, I'm going into this lifelong bond when we're going to break up in 5 years.
But I just think that if anywhere from a third to 50% of people are saying it's a lifelong bond and then it's not, then it's not.
Right. Like, it's just a step that you take.
It's not.
And I really feel like if I didn't have kids, a divorce, it would just be a breakup to me. It'd be like a little bit longer or messier or legal.
Yeah, I got a buddy that got married. Married at 24 and just was divorced by like 28, and we think of her as his ex girlfriend.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like
1,000%.
You know, they were married, and there was
that's the other thing. But, I guess it all depends on where you're from and what your like demo is. But like, if you get married when you're like early 20s, it's insane, absolutely fucking nuts. But that's what a lot. I mean, these celebrities live in a bubble. Or a time where like 23 to them is like you're 33.
Yeah.
Or,
and also I feel like when a celebrity meets another celebrity and then does have anything even resembling love, because they're like, I can't be
can't
with a
trust
normal
anybody.
Person.
I can't. Yeah.
You know, I like, need oh, you is, to be going through the same thing that I'm going
you
through.
You understand my schedule. You understand the lifestyle. You're going to be in a movie kissing another hot person too.
Right.
And I'm going to be with a video girl and that's going to be okay. And then ultimately it's not because it never seems to work out.
No.
I mean, one of the couples for me, when Gavin Rosdale and Gwen Stefani broke up, I mean, that was like the Rock.
Yeah, like, it just seemed like,
you know, rock and roll king and queen.
Yeah.
And they were together for like 20 years.
Right.
And then I think he like fucked the nanny and it was like, all right, this one's over too.
Is that how that went down?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just like, oh. And then, you know, it happened again. But Jeter and Minka to me was like the sports one that I think Minka did not play her cards right ultimately.
Yeah.
It's like, where's she
go?
Now? Yeah. You know? It's like, I don't know what pre-Friday Night Lights or after Friday Night Lights, but I don't know.
She's probably married like a hockey player. I feel like everybody just
defaults to a hockey
like
guy.
You're like kind of a star, but like less because it's hockey.
Yeah, it's like you're not, I probably make more money than you, but whatever.
Right.
Like you're tough.
But you're still
cool.
Like macho.
Yeah,
and
you're like a man, so we're good.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a fake, like a fictional made up couple almost. Real life people, but made up couple that never made it. Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. The greatest couple that never made it. The greatest couple that never was. They were both doing like press tour being like, we are not dating. And everyone was like, yes, you are. You're fucking. And it was like, I mean, I think it ruined both of their
like
relationships,
right?
I think that Irina,
it's like at that point, you might as well get together just for that.
It's like the rumors are there. So we might as well smash Gaga. I'm pretty sure Gaga like got, like divorced or broken
so.
Up, and
yeah,
I know
right.
Irina Shayk was like they were at least
maybe
on the rocks. So It was almost irresponsible of them if they didn't hook up.
People were legitimately like, you can't sing that song and you can't look into their eyes and not fall in love. I'm like, that's acting.
Yeah, I mean, like, that maybe happens they're just all the time.
Fantastic actors. Yeah.
Now, I mean, I do feel like everybody who's on a movie set or in a there is, like, sexual chemistry.
Right.
They probably want to fuck. A lot of them do fuck. Maybe they even did, like, one time or
yeah,
something like
it's
that.
Just,
but they were like, we're not fucking in love for, like, the rest of our lives together.
It's just silly to think that, like, you're just literally looking at a storyline. It's
yeah.
like... It's like Leo and Kate, like, he yeah. didn't die for her in the freezing ocean.
But you know what? So, like, it's funny you use that example because that's probably one that people, but.
Oh, I do think they had sex
but
on,
like,
on set.
But Leo and Kate are not, like,
yeah,
Leo's prettier,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, Leo's
right,
hotter.
Right, right, right.
Like, Gaga and Bradley Cooper are, like, kind of on the same star level. Like, I don't think
star
Gaga's,
level.
Like, gorgeous
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and, but she's, like, sexy. She's got yeah. sex appeal. And it was, like, I'm the actor doing the singing, you're the singer doing the yeah. acting, we're like doing this together. There was that story yeah. of how she demanded, like, no, if I'm gonna do this, you gotta do it right, you gotta sing. And like they pushed each other and challenged
right.
each other
all
and
right.
all that
you know
shit.
What? Maybe they did.
So maybe they fell
maybe,
in love. Maybe they were like, it would just be very funny to think about, like, if they truly were not actually attracted to each other. I'm sure there are professionals out there who are like, I can turn this on and off.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no feelings for you. I'm not attracted. This girl's beautiful. She's the one for me. I don't give a fuck about
you.
It'd be funny if that was the case. And their relationships are falling apart.
Yeah,
every
yeah.
outlet's talking about it. And they're just like, we are not fucking. I don't think it was. I think they were. I think that where there was smoke, there was fire. I feel like eventually you would step up and be
yeah.
like.
Because it doesn't happen on the set of every movie. Like, you don't hear these rumors.
Electric sparks
yeah,
on
yeah,
every
yeah.
single time.
And they were both like they were in relationships. And Bradley Cooper was with like one of the most gorgeous women on the planet. So it's like, why are these rumors happening? The rumors are happening for a reason.
For a reason. You know? When there's smoke, there's
it's
fire.
Some PA is like, you know, I can't bring their lunch to them because the
door's locked.
The door's locked. Yeah. And she's not in her trailer.
It's like,
and then a rumor starts. And it's like, and maybe nothing was going on, but
they
a rumor
did,
started
if there
somewhere.
Was nothing going on, they did a bad job of like squashing the rumors.
Right.
You know, you got to step up and be like, no, I'm with this person. Can you even consider it a couple who didn't make it, or do you consider it a victim who escaped kidnapping with Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise?
Absolutely. I think Family Guy had it where there was like a, you know, in one of their weird cutaway scenes, there was like a blackout and her like bracelet falls off and she goes, we're free. And she runs. She just escapes. She's like, run.
I don't think that was a breakup. I think that was a contract expiration.
Yeah,
I think Katie Holmes signed a 10-year deal with Tom Cruise.
Definitely.
And she was a free agent after all that Scientology shit and like got out by the skin of her fucking teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then started banging Jamie Foxx.
Right.
What the fuck? That's a hell of a rebound. I don't know if I would fuck with Jamie Foxx's Tom Cruise's ex.
Right. Like if you're Jamie Foxx.
Like, Katie Holmes is like a classically beautiful girl.
Right.
Wealthy, talented. If she threw herself at me, I legit
oh, right.
think I'd say no.
It's like a
mafia boss's
girl.
You know what I mean?
I can't do that.
That's like the premise of the show Barry. Like there's a guy who the personal trainer fucks the mafia wife and he gets whacked.
Right.
I would not try to get caught up in that Scientology cult like at all or whatsoever. Fucking ever. Did you see? This is not exactly celebrity couple, but have you seen what's going on out of the Logan Paul camp with Lana Rhodes?
I've heard a little bit about it, yeah.
First of all, Logan Paul might be the best buddy, the best friend a guy can have. His buddy Mike, Logan and Mike were on KFC Radio a few months ago, and Mike is just like Logan's right-hand man and his co-host on his show. And I think he, like the most of us, like the rest of us, is obsessed with Lana Rhodes, the number one porn star / non-porn star. She's one of those who's like not performing anymore, but we've talked about her for a couple years. YP, obsessed with her.
Like hung out with her, right?
Things that I've seen happen with a rubber ducky. Just wild, right? So they show up to go to Miami, and Logan he's like, here you go.
Here she
surprise,
is.
Fucking Lana Rhodes on a private jet. It's like, these fucking guys living the life. Well, our boy Mike ended up, running around Miami and having some fun, and I think they were not quite on the same page as to where the relationship was at.
Doesn't seem like it.
As, you know, as can happen with any girls and guys. I feel like there's no guy and girl are ever on the same page, and when you're talking about, like, a reality star and a ex-porn star, the waters are very muddied, you know? But I thought this was very funny. I guess, you know, they've the new it couple on the internet has smoothed things over. But Mike ended up having a night he should not have had with a girl who was on Dr. Phil as one of those, like, you know, crazy chicks.
Yeah.
And Lana Rhoades's quote to Mike was, "It would have been less embarrassing if you got head from Dr. Phil himself." Which is like such a fucking kill shot to the girl. Like, you're so like trashy and such a nobody that I'd rather my man cheat on actual Dr. Phil, like cheat with the old 65-year-old doctor blowing you. So hopefully that's the couple that we kind of root for, Mike and Lana. I have there's a couple from the new generation that I got to give a shout out because I'm sure there are younger people. If younger people listen to Mail Time Screaming, Bieber and Selena is going to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everyone's jumped on board with this Hailey Baldwin shit.
Yeah.
But I feel like Selena still sits at home crying her eyes out every night, and she's got lupus and shit. It's just a tough, like, life dealt her a tough hand on top of being like extremely wealthy and famous and stuff. All she wants was like to marry her Bieber boyfriend.
And it's like, I guess if they are happy and they're like a charming couple with Haley, but that was like the rebound girl. Like, yeah. I mean, he's been running around town,
Haley went to the concert when they were together and shit. It's like, this feels more like there was like scheming and scamming. And, but that one, Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron, which is like, that was like the High School Musical couple, and they were a thing for a while. Mm-hmm. That's gotta be. Like,
how about, Ashton and, Demi Moore? That seemed weird. And then he ends up back with
That's the greatest couple to ever make it.
To make it.
They came back around.
I mean, they'll probably
around.
Get divorced very soon. But,
no, yeah. I don't think so.
You think they're going to make it?
I think that, I mean, Ashton Kutcher is one of the most genuinely good people on the planet. I did not know that until I found out that he's like saving human trafficking and shit. He created an app that the government bought. It was so like,
he well was working done. On like curing malaria when Twitter, like when Twitter popped off, he had the most followers and CNN had the most followers. He was like right behind them, and they had a race to a million. And like the prize was going to be like $1 million worth of nets being donated to like African people for malaria. That was like when Twitter started.
Kelso, you know, yeah, he's like a stoner
in
the basement.
But Kelso and Jackie were supposed to be together, and then it was like, why is he with Demi Moore?
He went to Cougaroo for a while and then came back around. And Mila had her Macaulay Culkin phase.
Yeah.
So
I think he was with her for a long
time. Can you imagine? Real long time.
Yeah.
You know when you're dating somebody or married to someone and they like bust your balls joking but not joking about your exes or your previous hookups? Can you imagine in that couple when she's like, oh, yeah, like that's back when you were banging grandma. And he was like, oh, yeah? Well, that's when you were banging the fucking heroin addict who used to date Michael Jackson. You got Michael Jackson sloppy seconds, okay? How about that, Mila?
Oh,
with that
God.
Honey.
Yeah, they both have trump cards. Nobody says anything about
it. Nobody
exes.
Turns the key. Nobody even brings it up in that household. And then for the Gossip Girl generation, Blake Lively and Penn Badgley,
yeah.
They got from
right.
You Now. I mean, that ought to be a fucking big time couple. My personal one, Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan. That's a new breakup. Man, that cut deep. That cut deep. When they were on lip sync battle together,
yeah.
That's one of the sexiest things ever. Their sex has to be top, maybe one of all time. Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan must fuck like absolute porn stars.
Chris Pratt and Anna Faris almost broke your boy Bob. Like he was devastated about that.
I mean, everybody has their one couple that when they break up, you realize that like all of Hollywood romance is an illusion.
Right.
Bob Fox thinking that Anna Faris and Chris Pratt were like going to make it to the end. I'm pretty sure Warren Beatty married someone for like 90 years. I feel like he was married for like 60 fucking 5 years.
Seems right.
But it was also probably a different time where it was like, yeah, he was doing whatever he wanted and nobody said a goddamn
speaking
word.
Of like these old relationships, did you see about Elvis and Priscilla?
Yeah, she fucked a karate instructor. Priscilla
she fell in love and
cheated
then ended
on
up
Elvis with a karate instructor? Like her karate instructor?
I don't know. Just said a karate instructor.
Because that's the thing that happens with these couples. It's like, all right, I'm going to go on tour, and you're like sitting at home.
And Priscilla's like, let me learn karate.
Let me go to karate class. Yeah.
And in like modern day, it would be like a Pilates instructor.
Yeah,
or
the pool
like
boy sort of thing.
I just think like a karate man.
Right.
Like,
poor Elvis comes home and karate's deep in his girl, and he just dies on the toilet. It was not a great end for fucking Elvis, man. I'm going to wrap up with one controversial one. I mean, I don't even know if I should say this, but like they definitely should not be together.
Right.
But Chris Brown and Rihanna were going to be a fucking powerhouse if Chris Brown wasn't an abusive psychopath.
Right.
Chris Brown is still a star, but he was going to be like movies, TV, singing. Like all of it, like quintuple threat.
Right. Sometimes when you just hear him like, you know, going on a press tour or something like that, people are like, we really let this guy off the hook. But his trajectory was lowered.
Right.
You know?
I mean, big time. I think he was going to be like a mega, mega, mega star. And she kind of went like, she has never had like a public Drake, like kind of, but she was like dating that like Sultan for a while.
And she went
like way off the grid. Like it's not going to be like in the public eye or anything. Right. And rightfully so. I mean, I could understand her being like, no way. But that would have been a big time. Like, I mean, I guess it'd be like Jay-Z and Beyonce-esque. Like they would probably be like double dating with those two. You know what I mean? They would be on that sort of level, probably like sitting with fucking Obama. And instead he's like this pariah for being an absolute fucking asshole.
Right.
And shout out to everybody who should have done the conscious uncoupling that Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin did. Remember conscious uncoupling?
Is that what they called it?
Yeah, it's called breaking up.
Yeah.
Conscious uncoupling. It worked like a motherfucker, though. They're like the most healthy, separated family, like co-parent situation in the world. I think it makes it very easy when everybody's super fucking rich, though.
Yeah.
And everyone's got their own success and nobody put aside their own career for the other person. It's just like, okay, well, now, like, you know, the kids will spend some time in this mansion and sometimes on this yacht and sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's more complicated
I can see this the Illuminati level being like, listen, so we have these kids. These kids deserve to have even more rich people in their lives. So you go marry another rich person. Mm-hmm. I'll go marry another rich person. Then they'll have four
more money.
Super mega influential parents.
And they'll probably be fucked up mentally, but whatever.
But they're children of celebrities. They're going to be fucked up anyway.
No matter what. You know, so we might as well be as rich as fucking possible because they're already screwed up. And I guess the last one I would like to say that didn't make it, would you say that Eva Longoria and Tony Parker didn't make it? Or Eva Longoria and what was it, Brent Barry?
Brent Barry.
Parker fucked Brent Barry's wife, right? So Eva Longoria should have went and fucked Brent Barry.
Yeah.
That should have
been great for Brent. I'm sure he was like, hey? Like, he probably shot Eva a text and be like, well?
Listen.
And she was like, no, dude.
Say what you want. Brent Barry can always holler at a shorty and be like, watch like the 1995 dunk contest or whatever the fuck that was, right? I mean, Brent Barry did a fucking runway dunk.
Right.
Did he win?
I think he did.
I mean, Brent Barry, if you win a dunk contest, you deserve to fuck forever, whoever you want. That should be some prima nocta shit.
Just don't play ball with Tony Parker.
Yo.
Just to steal your girl.
Literally. Like probably like top five in the NBA in steals.
I mean,
Top one in steals.
Number one all time. Career, like, that, Hall of Famer.
I feel like if Eva Longoria was like, I fuck Brent Barry and we can, like, stay together. Like, no, like offsetting penalties.
Right.
Would you agree to that?
I
feel like Tony Parker should have.
I think that she should have got to pick whoever else. I don't think it had to be Brent Barry. I think she should be like, well, I get to fuck, like, fucking Tim Duncan if I want to fuck Tim Duncan. I don't know if that would be who she picks.
Who would you rather your wife cheat, Brent Barry or Tim Duncan? At least Tim Duncan's a Hall of Famer.
True.
But what was his name? He had like a bad nickname, didn't he? Tim Duncan.
Well, Shaq called him the Big Fundamental.
The Big Fundamental.
Yeah.
You don't want the Big Fundamental fucking your girl.
Yeah. I saw some meme that was like, this man is a legend, averaged like 25, 12, 5, and 1. And like, you know, won 5 championships, all with the expression on his face of a person waiting in line for McDonald's. Like, he literally just like is always like.
I don't even think he liked it. He wanted to be a swimmer, right?
He wanted to be a swimmer.
He wanted to be a swimmer, and they didn't have like a big enough pool for
him.
No,
I think a hurricane fucked it up, right? It out of
like, oh, okay, like, I'll be a legendary Hall of Famer. Yeah. And he definitely is underrated.
Yeah.
Already, like nobody talks about him.
Yeah.
So imagine like 50 years from now.
Yeah.
You're going to tell a tale to your kids, like, you know, this guy used the fucking backboard.
He won just as many as Kobe, right?
Yeah. And you never hear like, about it, you know?
Like fiercely competing with Shaq and like probably outlasted him and had some better years.
San Antonio. It's the greatest fucking sports story ever that nobody ever talks about. So a lot of couples that, you know, everybody is obsessed with that didn't make it. And all your favorite ones now, they're not going to make it either. But make sure you keep your girl or your guy happy and get, you know what? Here's the move. Girls should get the guys the Roman swipes. Because I could see a scenario. The Roman swipes are unbelievable. The Roman swipes are unbelievable. You open them up, you rub them on your dick, desensitizes them, sex lasts longer, and eventually you actually train your body to last longer without them, so you can actually like practice at sex and get better. I could see a scenario where you're like, you know, Do you like sneak into it? Do you have to like, does she know?
Oh,
do you tell her?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If a girl is just like, yo, I guess it's a shot to the ego, but I'd rather, you know, I'd rather a girl just be like, yo, put this on and sex is going to last even longer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try that new position, you know? Like, okay.
Oh, she should just be like, get ready for the things I'm going to do to you.
After
you're
5 minutes.
You're going to need some help I'm going to do some things.
You know what? You want to create the perfect way to last longer in bed. You use the Roman swipes and you have a girl lay out like, all right, from minute 0 to 2, we're like, it's missionary. From 2 to 3, I'm gonna hop on top. From 4 to 5 is this. And if you can make it to like 8 or 9, I'm going to show you some things.
It's like a Tabata workout. Yeah, Tabata workout is like where you'll like do one thing for a minute and then rest for like 20 seconds and then do another thing for a minute.
I like that idea too. I like the. I've always said when girls
built
are like harder, more. It's like no.
Yeah.
Don't you Omaha me? Like I am done. If I go harder, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go at like 70%.
Like,
but if there was rest periods,
how about like halftime where it's like we're gonna go for like
water.
10 minutes, but there's a scheduled break. Literally, like a buzzer goes off, and you're like, it's time to take a break because I fucking need it.
The only problem with that, I feel like you hit an age at one point, and maybe Roman can help you with this. Mm-hmm. When your dick hits the air. It's you know the you're on the clock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I gotta keep an airtight seal in there. If it comes out and it's exposed to the elements, it's officially expiring. Right, you know what I mean. Right. So all of these things, good plans, but the science behind it is the Roman
Maybe
swipes.
You just keep it in for the break.
That's what I mean. If I could just like hang out, I feel like if you have sex where it's not such a performance based thing, where it's like yeah, like all right, I'm gonna just like check my Twitter for a second. You know, you can respond to that email and like. You know, it would be better for everybody involved. Anyway, the swipes are the science behind it, though. And you're not even going to have to worry about the Tabata programming or the resting or the oxygen hitting your dick because you're going to have this swipe, which clinically, medically numbs you up, makes sex last longer, and trains you to be better. And the best part is you can get it for just $5 when you go to GetRoman.com/mailtime. We need the support. We need to make sure it happens. We had such a wave of support when Mail Time first came back. And now it's time, like, don't forget about it. It's time to keep the register ringing here. Make sure the sponsor's happy. Make sure that iTunes is happy with our ratings and our reviews. Don't forget to do 5 stars. Don't forget to leave a review. And go, if you've been thinking about anything for your hair, honestly, you should get the hair pills even. That's one of my biggest pieces of advice. Like, even if you have hair, start the Propecia now. You can get it for generic. You can get it for cheap. That you will keep the hair you have and have a full head of hair. It is like the most important thing as you get older. You can be fucking gross if you have hair when you're like 35, 40. Girls are going to like you because you're the only one left with hair. So you do this and you start training your dick. By the time you're like 35, you got a head of hair and you know how to smash. So do me a favor. Go to GetRoman.com/mailtime. Get those swipes for $5 when you sign up for a monthly plan. Now let's bring Big Daddy Trent in. To talk about some random couples that nobody knows, but we fall in love with anyway.
Hello. Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever done this. JJ used to come on.
Right, on Mail Time.
But I don't think there's ever been like a, maybe I'm wrong, maybe we have, but I don't think we ever had like any of the major bloggers on as a guest. So you're a pioneer.
It feels great.
In more ways than one.
And definitely since the relaunch. We just started going by the relaunch. We had our first guest last week, and now we have our first Barstool guest.
You know what's funny about this show, and we can get to the Bachelor stuff in a second. When I first got hired at Barstool Sports, mm-hmm. the first place I heard my name being like, this guy got hired, was the original Mail Time. Because Millmore and I got hired at the same time. Mm. And
Hell of a class.
It was, and I was... It was still sort of coming out that I had been hired, but you guys were talking about it, and I heard my name, and that was the first time I was like, holy shit, this is actually going to be a thing. Like, they can't take that back.
We weren't mean to you, because I could definitely see us being like, we hired some fucking guy from Iowa. What are we doing?
That's exactly what you said. You guys were very complimentary of Millmore. You guys were like, oh, he makes incredible shorts. He's this crazy guy. And then we got this guy, Trent. I remember you making fun of my name, but it's fine. It's fine. We've come a long way since then, but I was going to say, it's an honor to be on this show, because the first time I heard my name in the Barstool universe...
That's cool.
On the original Mail Time.
Well, I mean, it's an honor to have you because of your meteoric rise in more ways than one. But I definitely can probably view myself, like, I don't know for sure, but I can probably see myself being like, what the fuck are we going on? like, you know, at that point,
but
it was
that
like,
was when it
how
was...
much money is there to go around? What other cities are next? Oh, I'm going to go to Iowa.
And that's when it was all city-based.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because now it's just like, if you're funny, and you, so if we were going by that model, just, you know, you writing. And ultimately, I think that's why Dave like, yeah, no, it wasn't like we have to get in Iowa City.
Yeah, I remember you guys specifically remember you guys saying, well, they fill Kinnick Stadium every weekend for college football fans, so there's got to be people out there who like the stuff that we do. And it was like, all right, now Millmore and Trent, that's our new hires.
Like, it's funny though to think like you were. I think the T-shirt thing is really what drove Dave to you, like the kind of like the entrepreneurial spirit of it all.
Right. Yeah. I was selling Fran shirts and I got cease and desist. And I was really, when I emailed him originally, I was just like, I need legal advice. Like, what do you guys do when you guys have a shirt like this and they ask you to take it down? And he was like, you just got to take it down. But I like your blog. And then it kind of went from there.
I mean, that's honestly the people who go looking for for jobs at the blog are like the ones who never get it. You know what I mean?
No, you got to be doing your own thing. Yes. And then it sort of, it collides with a certain universe where it's like, I've reached this point and I need advice, or like, I think this is now big enough where I can present it to a guy like Dave. But mine was literally like, I just have this thing going on. I'm going to keep doing it regardless if I get a job or not.
That, like, comes through in your email. It comes through in your writing and, you know?
He didn't, I remember the subject of the email that I sent him was like, T-shirt question. Mm-hmm. And he probably saw that and was like, oh, somebody, the shipping Welker fucked something up.
Right.
He was going to look at it. And then it was just like no.
Word of advice sort of thing.
I'm getting bullied by the University of Iowa. What do I do?
That's a little hack right there. If you were like, big problem with Penn National, send that email. They'd be like, just kidding. I'm just like, here's my resume.
But you know, it's funny you say that you were getting bullied by a school because, I mean, I have said this so many times, especially over the past few weeks, that I think the most important thing in Barstool's history when we write the book is going to be timing.
Yes.
And on a whole level, from the Boston dynasties and then gambling being legalized, I've said that a million times. But then on individual levels, you hit Dave right when he was at his peak of like, fuck school administrations.
Yep.
So he probably read that with a little bit of like an extra like oomph on it. Like, all right, you know, fuck those guys. This is just an honest dude trying to make his way. Like, fuck that that dean or that, you know, DA or whoever the fuck it was, that AD that was fucking with you. So, like, who knows the timing of it all.
And he was in Turks and Caicos. He was on vacation. I don't know why he was looking.
That's actually usually the best time to get him.
I had no idea where he was. I was just sending him an email. I sent it to the old Tips Beat Barstool. And I don't know who reads those. I think it was Feidelberg at one point. But then he just happened to be reading it in Turks and Caicos. And I was like, I'll call you when I get back on Monday. I was like, holy shit.
Wow. Very interesting.
So he's just checking emails on vacation.
Was he like, by the way, I might just hire you? Or you were like, what do you think about also giving me a job?
So he emailed me back about the T-shirts and he was like, you're such a small operation that they're probably not actually going to sue you. They're just bluffing you, which they were, because I had no money. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do. And he was like, but I like your writing. What would you think about Barstool, Iowa? And I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? That's the first in a long series of what the fuck is happening right now.
Yeah.
But that was the first. I emailed him back. I was like, are you kidding? Like, are you serious? Barstool, Iowa.
Don't be a dick.
Even I live here and I can't believe that's what he said. But he did. He right away, he was like, I like your writing. What do you think about Barstool, Iowa? And I just, you know, went off from there. We emailed.
Did you just say
lot.
Yes?
Like, just first, I literally said, I was like, I can't believe, like, are you serious about this? And then I said, yes, I would love it.
You don't want to talk yourself out of it. He was like, yeah, you're right. That was a bad idea. See you never.
I almost did at the beginning, but then I was like, let's talk about it. I think that would be a great idea.
Well, he's probably, I mean, he is, of course, we know now, very smart, or in certain ways. And he probably was thinking about it from like a Big Ten point of view. Like, if you asked me, I would have never done it. I would never even if I did like you, I probably would have been like, I just don't see what I would do there. Meanwhile, he's probably thinking about Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, like those people, and like knowing that, you know, there actually is a big market out there and that it doesn't have to just be like major cities.
It was definitely trying to go west because Barstool LA had just folded.
Yeah, I was going to say, where were you like in between? What cities were you kind of in between?
So Nate got hired 6 months before I did, or 3 or 6 months before me. And then between us is LA.
Got it.
That doesn't work. And then I think it goes to me.
LA went
then,
quick, huh?
Right.
I didn't even realize that.
Oh, yeah. And then right after me, Caleb got hired. So I'm in between. Oh, wow. It was Nate, Millmore, me, Caleb is sort of the line, I'm pretty sure.
Love it.
Yeah.
The history is wild.
Everybody's
got like a book worthy story.
Winning the game to New York.
And then still to this day, one of my favorite moments. I wonder if I can dig up footage of me being the judge. When you came in Barstool Idol, winning the game was like luck, but also like you put your balls on the line and like made the bet.
Yep.
Coming to Idol was like the most brilliant move because if you look at Dave's face, you know when Dave does that smirk?
Yes.
Where he knows he's kind of got. It's usually when you catch him doing his shtick and it's like, Dave, you just said last week, like, fuck that guy. And now you're saying you love him. And he's like, And he has this little smirk on his face where you know that you actually, like, for once he's breaking character.
Right.
It actually gives me hope that, like, he's not full Heisenberg, that there is some Walter White left in there.
For sure.
But he laughed or, like, smirked and smiled genuinely, like, well played, well played. And that, I think, was, like, what, you know, like, sealed the deal. Because that And you were like, my name's Trent. Unlike the other contestants, I work here already. I'm already employed.
I was making my case for why I should be in New York. And it's like, my paychecks say Barstool Sports on them. I fucking work here. Like, let me come to New York. And it worked out. It did. That was an Office Manager Brett special where he was I'm going to book you a flight on Erica's card. I'm not going to fucking tell her. This was when, like, everybody had a card. And he was like, I'll book your flight. And I flew out of Chicago at, like, 5 a.m. And I just, I showed up.
And that is now Trent's second most famous walk of all time.
Yeah.
Behind his luggage guy, bouncer, T-1000 Terminator strut. Last night, Trent makes his debut as luggage guy on The Bachelor. His I don't want to say lifelong dream, but probably your decade-long dream, right? So when did you start watching Bachelor?
I started watching Bachelor right when I got hired, so in 2014.
I'm going to do this for content, or like you just liked it?
Yeah, back then I was looking for just things to do, and you're trying to fill, like you're trying to tweet a lot.
Yeah.
You're trying to like find something that'll be interesting to tweet about, and The Bachelor happened to be on, and I just started tweeting about it as a joke and as like a guy who's like, I'm not going to watch this show, but I'm going to make fun of it,
right,
and I'm going to tweet about it, and it's just morphed into,
you know,
I am in love with the show. I'm the biggest fan
Steve
in the world.
And you're trying to guess spoilers.
And I'm on the show now, and it's like, it's sort of morphed into, I hated it, and now I love it more than anything, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect example of like what Barstool content really can be, because people have such a stereotype of us, you know,
right,
and what we talk about and what we cover, and then like you look at something like that where it's completely off brand, quote unquote, or out of our demo, but is actually everything we're all about. Like the people who are still like, nobody's watching it for love, dude. No one cares about like the roses and who's in love, and they do because that's the essence of the game and the show. But it's an unintentional train wreck comedy, is what it is. Like, how can you not get that?
Yeah, it's just an easy thing to tweet about. In this season in particular, Pete isn't like a great bachelor.
Right,
it's a disaster every single week. But that
I
makes
feel
it
like
great.
That's every
you
season.
Do.
Well, I feel like they hate. I feel like they hate, and it's maybe just my own bias because it doesn't stick out in my head when they really like the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. But every season, well, it seems
guy,
like everybody
like
hates
guy,
everybody.
Ben was cool, right?
Ben Higgins. I think we shit on him too.
Oh yeah.
But
okay.
The thing is,
all right, then you guys don't like anybody.
The thing is, I like Pete. I do. I like him, but he doesn't know how to manage, and I don't know who does. I don't know. He doesn't know how to manage 25 girls.
Yeah. Right. You were saying he lost the locker room.
He's lost the locker room 8 times this season. Every week he loses the locker room because he makes. Every time you're in a situation where you're like, all right, Pete should do this, that's the right way, he does the opposite. And it's amazing. Like you
but
said,
that's because you guys are like vets. You guys have watched hours of tape.
But he did it.
Well, all right, fine.
He's already been on the show. He should fucking know.
But still, you've seen like 10 Bachelors. Yeah. You know, like this guy hadn't done that research. You should be a Bachelor consultant.
I would
for the
love
next
that.
Guy to come on, hire you and be idea. Like, how the fuck do I do this?
But I almost don't want them to
right.
know. Because
and the producers don't want them
you. If you are a Pierce who watches The Bachelor, then you're like, this season's a disaster. He's not going to find love. For people like us who just want to tweet about train wrecks, this has been the best season imaginable. But again, I like Pete. He just has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, like you said, who the fuck does? That's where I think like the original Bachelor and Bachelorettes used to be like, not famous people, but like successful, like rich, like actual, you know, eligible bachelors. Then it got to the point where it was just like normal people. And now it's getting to the point where you become the famous person because of The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's intentions and everybody's like blueprint and game plan has changed where like that guy might be going like, I don't know, I'm just going to make out with all the men on camera and wait for this to be over and then sell shit on Instagram.
And
like,
I
you don't know
right.
what
and
is.
That's a good point because I can't put it all on Pete because you're now getting contestants who go on there to get Instagram followers.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
like that is their main goal. So this season.
And become GIFs. I'm convinced of that. There was one shot where this girl did some weird thing with her lips. I was like, either you are like rolling on ecstasy or you were like looking directly into the camera and saying like, let me see
this
if I can get in the Twitter GIFy option.
Yeah. So this has been a perfect storm of a bachelor who doesn't know what he's doing, but also a very young crop of girls who are mostly there because they want to sell sugar bear hair on Instagram. So it's like, that is not going
to. Yo, ABC is going to reach like a crossroads where they have to figure some shit out where it's like, you can't stop someone from being famous after your show, but it's like you need like a like a non-compete. We're like, you can't be on Instagram for 2 years after the show.
They will have
like
no
Nobody
contestants.
Will come on.
None.
But if you did get someone, it would be like the freak, the weirdest of the weird. You know what I mean?
Last year was a good example on the Bachelorette with Hannah, where the guy who won was Jed Wyatt. And the whole reason he was on the show was to become a country music star.
Right.
And it gets to the point where he's like, oh my God, I'm in the hometowns. Oh my right. God, I'm in the final three. Oh my God, I fucking won. And he's got a girlfriend back home the whole
that
time.
Was classic.
And the whole thing blows up. And again, I'm watching from a distance like, oh, this is yes. great. Like this, it's shitty that it ended up that way. But it just goes to show why this show can be such a disaster, because people aren't going on there for quote unquote the right reasons.
Well, it's funny because they're not going on there for the right reasons. And ultimately they don't like end up together probably most times. Some do, whatever. But it's real in the sense of like, it's like going to summer camp. It's like mm-hmm. being on vacation with a girl or on like a, if you, it's like in Seinfeld when you go away for the weekend and they say that like the relationship ages like months in a matter of weekend because you're together all the time. If you put two people in a setting that's romantic and beautiful and like designed to make you like fall in love and want to fuck and all that shit, 6 weeks is going to feel like 6 months or 6 years or whatever. Like
if they just choose someone else. Like, it doesn't matter if you're like, I was on here to get 200,000 Instagram followers and start my business. You feel hurt. Like, yeah, you get, yeah. you're like, yeah. I didn't care about this person before.
Be like love,
I don't care
like
about him now.
Or whatever, but the emotions are actually there. So it does, like, because I think people go through the cycle. Like, you have to learn how The Bachelor works. Like, you might come in thinking you're an idiot. You think it's real.
Yep.
And then you go full skeptical, like, well, they must be completely acting. And you realize they're not, like, acting. They're really crying. They're really upset. It's fabricated, but, like, those people are actually feeling those emotions. So it is the perfect experiment. It's like the Truman Show. It's like, we're gonna make it feel real and look real, and even though it's really not, these people are gonna think it is, and we're just gonna watch their fucking demise.
And to your point, they don't have their phones either, so
right.
that's mostly what would take up most of their time. They're like, I don't have these, so I guess I'm gonna get all the way invested in what's going on here. And whenever they say I think I'm falling in love with you or I have serious feelings for you, I believe them.
Yeah,
I really do, because what you're saying,
I believe they're a little bit warped.
Yes,
but in their mind they believe
it's a reality distortion.
I never thought about how they're all just people going crazy because they haven't been allowed to text or tweet.
Right.
It is.
Like it's so an experiment. Take people's phones away for 6 weeks. See what happens. Forget about dating. Forget about it's just like, put them on an island and see what happens when they don't have their phones. Right. It's like Lord of the Flies. They just tear each other to pieces.
Anything you set them up to do, they just so happen to be like, you're going to fall in love with this person. They're like, all right, I guess I'll do that because I can't refresh my feed. So that's what I'm going to do.
It actually honestly makes me like question all of relationships and emotions and shit like that. It's like, well, what is real then?
I know.
Like, is that fake? It's forced. But they're feeling it. Like, so the same, like in that moment, at least in their head, they feel the same way as you who felt it after like 10 years.
Right.
And proposed for all the right reasons and all that shit. Like, yours was real, theirs was fabricated, but in that exact moment, they're both crying the same
tears.
They're
feeling the same
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't, it's creepy. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about
it. It's
kind of
like, I'm surprised we have not canceled The Bachelor yet. Like not networks, like society, like feminists and cancel culture being like, this is, you know, misogynistic or like manipulation.
Because they just even it out.
That's
they just
right.
swing it right back with The Bachelorette.
I think the feminists are like, all right, well, when The Bachelorette comes around, we'll make fun of the guys and then everything's fine. Right, no big deal.
What I think is funny is I'm pretty sure I'm like a casual fringe fan, not like these guys, but I keep up with it enough. I'm pretty sure the most successful couples are all coming from Bachelor in Paradise, right?
No doubt about it.
There's like several families from Paradise
they
where it's just like, yeah, we met on this vacation where everyone was fucking each other.
They have them now where they'll come back and their kids will be there. And it's
But that's so much more normal. Mm-hmm. That's a group of people. It's like, that's going to the bar.
Vacation. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, that's how people meet.
Right.
They don't meet like one guy, 25 girls
right.
or vice versa. Like, that's crazy. That doesn't
so
work
crazy.
Ever.
So funny though. It's so sick.
Just the fakest part of The Bachelor is like those women even somewhat interacting with each other. Being like, you're going for the same guy. Like that just absolutely cannot happen. That tears friendship, like friendships that have been established for a long time. Like your roommates from college, you guys live and die for each other. You fall for the same guy, you literally scratch each other's eyes out. Like it's like that can't happen.
Yeah.
And then they all pretend like, oh, well, we're buddies. We're
everything
friends.
Everything gets flipped. So like when like girls in the house, like you're saying, like they should hate each other, but a lot of them get along. And then when there is one girl who's like, I'm just here to find love and get a husband, everybody's like, whoa, what is this all about? And then when there's girls who are like, I don't know, I don't think I'm ready for an engagement. Yeah. I don't think I'm ready. They're like, what is wrong with you? It's but, a complete but that's, flip yeah. in reality.
But that's also natural, too, to be like, we came on this, even though it's a competition show, you can't come in here and be like, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to try and kill every other woman here. So right. to be civil with them
well, if they're
is normal.
The game,
it's just
thing,
not.
But if they like think it's genuine. I mean, think about like outside in the real world. You have a girl and, you know, you can't. Like, you can't like that girl's Instagram photo. You can't talk right, to any right. other girls. You certainly can't hang out with any other girls. But then they just give them a new set of rules that these girls agree to for
either like, we came on the show,
whatever.
Yeah.
So
deal.
They have to play by those rules. And then that's the new standard. And it's like, it's okay that you made out with every single girl before me tonight. That's okay. It's just whatever rules.
It's like
that's right. I mean, I started to get deep with it where I'm like, that's where like monogamy is just a set of rules that someone gave. And like, if we played by these rules, it would be one way. And if we played by these rules, like, maybe it's basically polygamy.
They're
it's
basically
like,
it is. They're basically know? Like pro athletes, though, that dap it up at the end of the game.
Yeah,
you know,
respect,
it's like,
respect.
You know, like
jersey swap, trade thongs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I mean, the story of you and The Bachelor, and it's not even, you know, we're talking tip of the iceberg, scratching surface here, I think is the story of content wise, of patience. And, mm-hmm. I meant it with Dana too, in a shorter scale than you. But like, you know, there are people who try to make it big, break out in Barstool, or go viral, or wedge themselves into content, or whatever it may be. And you can't do that. You know, like
no.
you just have to. Like Dana was doing zillion beers for a little while. Never was like this wasn't a mastermind plan. It just kind of like grew and happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you even longer were just like, I'm going to tweet about The Bachelor. I'm going to do this after show. I'm going to watch it. Do Chicks in the Office. And like it took what? I mean, that's like 4 or 5 years. I want to say.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years for it all to happen.
And
yeah.
for a DM from a producer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It takes a long.
It's,
when
patience and authenticity. Because yeah, you were like, yeah. I really do just genuinely like this. Like
yep.
I'm not going to stop. It's like when we do the Mets podcast and some people will be like, you don't know anything about baseball. It's just like, yeah, we just like it.
Yeah,
we just like it. We're not experts on it. We just like it and we're just going to keep talking about it.
Right.
And eventually it pays off.
Right.
Yeah, there's been a long gestation period. And if you look back at the tweets in terms of Luggage Guy specifically, that's been 3 years. The first one was like, hey, I think, like, what's up with this weird guy that walks in the room and, like, grabs the luggage from the girls? And just 3 years later, then I walk onto the
And that's always been completely anonymous, right? Like, nobody ever even, like, talks about that guy.
No.
Nobody finds him on Instagram or Twitter.
Nope.
And, like, and it's always different?
It's always different. So when I talked to the
it shouldn't be anymore.
When I was there, it was just...
It shouldn't
just,
be anymore. Full-time contract.
It was just, like, interns that they pull off the set.
Right.
Like, that are just like...
Yeah.
A PA.
We're all black.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, PA. They're like, will you just go in and grab the luggage and we're going to... Because
right.
this girl's going home. And I picked up on it. I just thought it was so funny that these people would walk in dramatically and pull the luggage out that I was like, I want to be that person.
I mean, it's a metaphorical executioner. You know what I mean? Like,
you
walk in and just chink, you
they
just
call it
cut
the,
someone's head off.
I call it the luggage guy. They call it the Grim Reaper.
Down there. Like on the set, they call
yeah.
it?
Yeah, they were,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the
right.
They were like in their mics like, Grim Reaper's here.
The Grim Reaper has landed.
It's like, holy so shit, package. I'm in Peru. What is that? It's like, fuck. But yeah, that's what they call it.
You're like Grim looking Reaper. Around like, me? Is that me? Or is there like someone?
I'm like
are we in trouble
pretty
here?
Nice guy, but I guess I'm the Grim Reaper tonight.
Yeah, that's what's so funny is that like, you know, otherwise, like if Trent was in any other capacity, he'd be talking to the girl. I'm so happy to meet you.
Right.
You're beautiful. I think you're lovely. You should win. And instead it's like, you're going home, bitch.
Yeah, see,
now, what's funny is like, I mean, I never would have thought twice about like, the movie magic that goes into it, but like Trent flies all the way down to Peru to walk into an empty room and pull a bag away,
right,
and then they just splice it together perfectly with whatever reactions they had in B-roll, mm-hmm. and you know it's one of those. I watched it back a couple times, and it's like The Sixth Sense. I was like, yep. Nope, they were never in the same room at the same time. Like,
right,
there's never
right.
a shot of them.
Once you
but they
quick,
shot it well, because that's one of those things you can screw up. You know, like, if that bag is, like, not in that exact corner
yeah.
when the girls are sitting there, it would throw you
well,
off.
That's
but
what
they,
I said,
they shot it well enough.
Why not just do it in a fucking Marriott in New York and save everybody the trouble and everything? And you probably could get away with it by just filming a hallway or a wall.
Right.
But there are enough Bachelor freaks out there who would be like, ah, wait a minute. That,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Maybe they didn't actually vote him off because they weren't in the same
yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah, because there were people trying to guess from the teaser.
Based on the bag.
Like,
who's
the
yeah.
girl? I mean, like, I don't understand how you could possibly guess that.
Because it was like a purple
that,
bag and they were trying to figure out whose luggage is that. It was
but it
thing.
Wasn't anybody's, right? Because you weren't. None of the girls were there. Or I guess it could have been.
I think it was. The
girls.
Luggage, it was full. It was full of someone's
clothing.
Oh, because
they could have shot the girls first.
Yeah.
The girl, well, the girl in whose bag is there, right?
Those fucking producers and directors of those things are with the
reactions. I like that I had to go to Peru. That adds to the story. Like, because a lot of people still are like, oh, he did it. Like you're saying, Kevin, like he was at a hotel in New York. No, I flew all the way down there.
And the fact that it wasn't like L.A., it could have been South Beach, you know.
Yeah, it could have been Denver. It could have been anywhere. And they were like,
Peru.
But it just, the guy who DM'd me, Robert Mills, shout out to him. He's the guy who made it happen.
I mean, smart
Robert. You, first of all, you absolutely should just sign a contract.
Yeah.
Like, extend Trent a contract.
Nope.
Or if you make it like the bartender on Andy Cohen's show.
Well, or the bartender in Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
That's what Trent should be. I've said
he should be.
Yes. Oh, okay. So Wells Adams was the current bartender. I've been talking to Wells too. I want to get him on the show because when he was a contestant on The Bachelorette, he was one of the guys. He was like, I'm a radio host and I got jokes. And I remember they did like a fireman challenge.
Yeah, that was JoJo season. That was a great season.
Yeah. You had to go up like 10 stories, lift the fucking hose. And he was like, you know, all the guys are fucking ripped. Like, I think they were wearing like the classic like stripper fireman thing.
Like you get overalls a calendar.
Overalls with no shirt on, you know. And Wells is like, you know, not he's like in better shape than I am.
Right,
like a normal looking dude who just stunk at that challenge and was just like, yeah, man, I'm just like here to make her laugh and maybe like fuck her that way.
And it worked.
And then he ends up and she liked him. JoJo
it worked
liked
because
him.
He was on the JoJo. He was on the side like passing out.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, my. And she was like, I have to care for this guy. And then he's funny.
But right. And he was like with he got like more time with her 100%. In that essence. Like, OK, you guys go fucking carry the dead bodies. I'm going to talk to the pretty girl.
Yep.
Which is at least how I would like pretend in my head how I win The Bachelor. You know, yeah. I was over here cracking jokes while you guys were doing push ups. Loser.
Right.
In reality, she'd be like, get away from me, skinny fat creep. I want the guy to do push ups. But he then goes on to about to marry Sarah Hyland from my family.
Yep.
So like got the girl and now was doing like Oscars coverage for E and shit because he's like a radio personality. He's got a personality. So I'm thinking maybe on to bigger and better things for Wells. There's an opening down there behind the bar in Batch in Paradise and Trent does the, you know, clean up, throw the towel over his shoulder and he can and be tell like, problems, babe.
Right. And he can be like a real bartender, you know, a bartender stereotypically is like you tell your problems to, and he's like the wise old man who can give advice because he's like, I've seen like 50 seasons.
14,
you know?
I'm open to anything at this point. I'm probably going to, you know, slide back into Robert Mills' DMs and be like, let's
definitely do
something. Whether it's, this is it.
Like, this was your break.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they just say to you, like, listen, I don't know, it was a one-time thing, man, whatever, fine. But, like, you got to at least see it through and know that, like, you exhausted it as far as you could.
At the bare minimum, I would like to continue being the luggage guy.
Yeah.
Either the one who always does it or if I just show up every once in a while. It has to be something like that. And if it goes further than that, I'll take it, too.
There's got to be multiple, you know, girls get sent home all the time. I feel like the dramatic ones are towards the end. But if they did it, like, when there's four left, there's, like, a couple opportunities.
Yeah, it's usually probably two luggage people a season that you see. Maybe one.
So, listen, if the producers... First of all, I genuinely think they gave him a little bit of extra time on the camera. And maybe that's just like because, you know, I never watched the camera guy before. But Trent got like a full walk-in, pull-up, turn, walk-away, like a solid like three Mississippi, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I was thinking to myself like, all right, but that, like I said, maybe I just never paid attention. Fucking Judd Apatow posted on his Instagram for a goddamn reason.
Yep.
Like, and that, and it's funny that like a director would notice that. So
did
maybe
he know you or did he like go back and tag you after everyone responded?
He went back and tagged because he put
it
up.
So it was a real deal, genuine.
Right, he was just like, I'm just making a comment on this guy that I hadn't seen before.
He was watching it, he took a picture, he made up a story about how I like broke into his house and stole all of his suitcases. And then under his Instagram, I was like, oh shit, that's me. And then he went back and edited the response with Parcel Trent.
Yo, maybe we should, we're so stupid. We're setting our sights way too low.
Yeah.
You need to be in the next Judd Apatow movie. Like the next Superbad.
That's
like
what Feidelberg said. Feidelberg was like, you should just be like small bit parts in the next 50 Judd Apatow movies. You know how like Adam Sandler brings Dan Patrick
and all his buddies?
I'll just do that every single time. I'm open to that.
What I love about Trent. What I love about Trent though is you know, I was saying like we were talking about the bartender and the luggage guy, and I was joking around about him being the bachelor, and he very genuinely and contently was like, I just want to be in the mix, like on the fringe, which is, again, it's almost like patience personified. Where it's like, I don't want to like ruin this by, you know, doing something too over the top or out of character.
If I'm a contestant or if I'm the bachelor, like that's a lot. But if I'm just like, in the on the fringes of the Bachelor universe. Like, I am
you're
the bartender.
A human Easter egg.
I'm the and I'm always wearing that the khakis the and the black crew neck. Like, I think that's much more fun and funny than like if I'm because you get overexposed and I'm the Bachelor.
Yes,
and I'm,
that's exactly.
You find out that I'm just like, oh my god, like, yeah. Holy shit, am I overwhelmed? Right, but right. If I just do these small little parts, that's really my dream, and that has it started
it's
already.
Begun, and I think like the reaction. I mean, they'd be idiotic if they look at the social reaction and the attention it got from guys, girls, yeah. Out of their demo, whatever. It'd be crazy to not include you
and
in some manner.
I think Robert Mills, he knows what he's doing. He's a very smart guy. He knew that it would get a good response. But what always happens with Barstool in general, like when we did. When Dave did the Mulligan Challenge out at Shinnecock for the U.S. Open, the guy who hooked that up was, I know he was like nervous about it. Like, you know, I don't know how people are going to feel about us working with these guys. And then everyone sees the response and it's like, all right,
fucking
you
cares.
Guys got credentials. You'll be there every year.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same way with this. Like mm-hmm. The response has been overwhelmingly positive. Yeah. And people have been like, holy
it's
shit.
It's like a feel good story.
And otherwise, that's just like a person that they walk in, they walk out and they don't get anything.
Added value. It's just added value. Bonus.
People are, you know. I think the response that they got is going to motivate them to be like, let's bring this guy back to do more stuff, which is what I'm looking for.
I mean, no doubt about it. We've been talking for a while now that I think like you might have, aside from like Dan and Dave, you might have like the biggest upside potential here with the niche that you've picked.
Yeah.
And I really mean that because like it's very similar. We just had It's the Real on last week who were like two white Jewish guys who are covering hip hop and like because of they're good at what they do, but because of the novelty of it, it's to the fucking moon. Trent being a normal dude, Midwest guy who has like this uniform and this look and this aura about him being into what the girls are, you know, quote unquote, supposed to be watching. It's like instant added value or just like you could do. I mean, I the fact that he should be doing an after show for ABC. He should be doing like all that kind of shit where
I
it's
mean,
like you could
try to start it 3 years ago.
I know. And that's where I mean, it's time to fucking, you know, start that up again, because The Bachelor is like the goddamn Super Bowl every fucking week.
Every Monday. The tweets I do about The Bachelor, they do better than anything I ever
engagement
do.
Engagement through the roof.
Crazy.
Right?
And it is. And I listened to that. It's the Real interview. It was really good. But what you said was atypical. That's mm-hmm. sort of what they're. That's what their draw is, at least partially. They are very talented. But also, I'm the same way. People can't believe that Bachelor stuff is coming out of my face.
Right.
They just
like,
can't
it's
believe
like
that.
Informed. You're genuine. You're into it. It's not mocking it. It's like making fun, but it's not like this is stupid.
No.
Like, it's genuinely your passion. And the passion is like palpable. You can hear it and feel it. And then there's like, you know, everybody is typically like so cookie cutter that if they're just like people would be like, whoa, right away you jump out the same way you jumped out to Judd fucking Apatow,
right?
You know, and then if you're like a little bit funnier about it, a little more real about it, mm-hmm. guys are gonna like you, be like, oh, that's like a normal dude like me. Girls are gonna find it adorable and endearing. It's like, this is right in front of your fucking face.
And it just like it just like takes the edge off, because you expect like, you know, a bunch of other girls to be talking about this. So one, all the girl fans see a guy and they're like, oh, we get to get a guy's perspective, and he's not like faking it. And then the guys see you and they're like, see, it's okay. It's okay for guys to watch. This is fine. I'm not weird.
It can be an entry point for guys who watch with their girlfriends or forced to watch with their girlfriends. And then if you follow my tweets, it's not like girls are going to tweet about it in a certain way. And then if you are just a guy who watches it and genuinely loves it like I do, I'm going to have like a little bit of a different perspective. And guys can be like, oh, that makes sense. Or that's a little funnier or whatever.
The different perspective is the guy perspective. Like the guy at home wants somebody to be like, I mean, this is ridiculous, guys, right? Like, we're going to call her out for this, right?
And, yeah.
Like, you'll be that dude, you know? It's an interesting, for anybody out there who's doing, like, any sort of content, like, we learned probably the hard way that not having a niche or a focus or a specialization makes things tough, because there's just so much content out there.
Right.
And that, like I always thought that Mail Time or KFC Radio or whatever I was doing should have just been called like the Barstool Sports Podcast, because it was pop culture, it was sports, it was sex, it was everything that we just do on the blog. You can't put like Barstool in a box, right?
It's right.
Like, we just do everything. Yep. But within it, you're doing these individual things. And like if you found that specialization and you're doing it, you just have to keep doing it,
mm-hmm.
doing it for, and that's where it can't be like, it has to be real. It has to be an actual hobby, because, you know, whether or not you ever had this opportunity, if you knew this was going to come, it didn't matter. You were going to tweet about it every week. You're going to watch it every week, no matter if you're going to do it or not.
No doubt.
So when I see people who are like, you know, I remember people used to set up a blog because I was like, you know, the best way to get here is like have a blog. Mm-hmm. But then they would send me the link and it would be like barstoolaudition.wordpress.com.
It's right.
Like, you are doing this for the audition rather than auditioning what you do, if that makes sense. You know,
no,
like,
and
I can tell you're trying to write like this is what Barstool would want rather than like what do you think? What do you say? What's your slang? What's your lingo? Like, don't use our, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Before I ever reached out to Dave or about the t-shirts, whatever, I'd been blogging just for the love of the game for like a year,
mm-hmm.
just with nothing in return. I mean, you get a little following locally and
right.
people think you're funny or whatever, but like nothing that was going to like, oh, I can quit my job. And right. I
but that's how much
bills.
You have to like it.
100%.
It, like, especially at that time when you needed to churn out, like if you were going to come on to Barstool, you'd be like, okay, 12 to 15 blogs a day. You probably weren't doing that much because you weren't getting any return, had to work a full-time job. But like in your off hours, if you were getting 3, 4, 5 blogs up, that's what it takes. You have to be like, I just want to get these blogs off.
Which
I just want to get this out there.
You know, I know people like want to work at Barstool or want to do this shit for a living. But like, do you really? Because
right.
if you wanted to, you would do it.
Yep.
You would be doing it with no money and no fame, but you'd be doing it like we were, you know?
The job I had when I was doing my blog and working at the same time as a security guard.
Which is just so funny.
Not even
Trump being like, it's okay, come on in.
I wasn't
What were you securing?
I also feel like he'd
I'm from Iowa, and I was working at a
cornfield.
I was working at a corn plant. That's just what it is, all right? Sometimes.
This is why Trent is going to be so fucking famous, because his story is so stupidly real. He's actually working at a corn plant.
I have worked tirelessly to be like, Iowa is not just corn and this stupid shit. I don't wear overalls. I didn't grow up on a farm. But yeah, I was a security guard at a corn plant, okay? I was.
Protect the corn at all costs. This is Iowa.
I was just.
Was there ever a single person who tried to get into the corn plant who wasn't supposed to be there?
No! Dude,
that's why you could blog so much.
That's what I was going to say. I had so much downtime, and I would sometimes work third shift, which was 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. So I'm just sitting there, just mainlining coffee and just like having crazy thoughts. And I was like, let's write it down.
Did you have your computer on the scene?
Yes.
And you would blog
Dude,
right
I
there.
Could sit there. I had
that's
my own
so
big guard shack. And when I worked third shift, I would see like one person every 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I could just sit there and bang them out. I would just blog.
I mean, I say it over and over, but like the serendipity and the timing of everything aligning, like I kind of had the corporate version of that in a way. In my job, they gave me all my work at the beginning of the month, which allowed me to like make my own schedule, and that's the only reason I could have blogged and the only reason I had something to show.
Right.
If you worked a different shift or a different security guard job or something else where you couldn't just sit there and blog, the course is totally different. It's like it's all fucking predetermined, man. It's all fake. It's like,
yeah, it just worked.
Trent's gonna be fucking famous.
No,
yes, you are. I genuinely truly mean it. I would buy stock in you, like right up there with the other like tip top people in this company if I could, because you are a blogger and like one of the last ones, really. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when I jumped back into the blog game, I started to get my like stats from K Marco sent to me, and. Because I was feeling myself. I was like, oh, boy, everyone's, like, reading these blogs again. I bet, like, you know, my numbers are through the roof. And then I see, like, the top guys. And it was like, oh, never mind. And it was, like, you, Keith, Nate, like, the guys who blog like we used to blog all the time. So you can still do that, which it also just translates into, like, your humor and your style. You have the golf thing, which is, like, I mean, foreplay. And foreplay has always been – golf was the only other thing that I could think of bachelor-wise that contends – like to be Barstoolified with golf, you know,
for
what I mean?
Sure.
Like, let's come in here with some personality, lighten things up. Let's have some fun with it. And so, and then you have The Bachelor. Like, those are two of the biggest potential,
like
the highest potential. Yeah,
by the Barstool
and,
type
and
humor.
And golf has taken off, and it's probably like, you know, that's not more potential. That's like actualized now.
Yep.
But Bachelor is like tip of the iceberg.
It's weird. The Bachelor seems like it keeps getting bigger because it's already big. But it's just like.
It's because they, you know, they probably had saturated.
Imagine if we were been doing an after
girls.
Show for 3 straight years.
Oh, I know.
That show would be fucking
Mark
huge.
And at the end of the day, like
fucking Mark Cohn, man, you missed on that one. Mark, but just be honest, you missed on this one.
We should have just kept doing it regardless. But yeah, I mean, Robert, they're smart. Like we keep saying, and like they know that what the Barstool audience is going to bring in. So it is. The Bachelor is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger if they keep including people like me in the show. And if I'm going to keep tweeting about it, which I will never stop, I'm going to keep talking about it. I'm going to keep doing more stuff with it. So it's only going to grow. It's not going anywhere.
I mean, at the very minimum, it's staying put. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and as things like Bachelor in Paradise start cooking, and
oh, I
mean, it's a cash cow, and you're just like, just getting into the deep end.
I still can't believe I've been saying this, and it hasn't really made sense, and it probably won't again. I can't believe they allow people like me on TV. Like, it's like the Bachelor and the Bachelorette, it's all these beautiful people. And if the right guy follows you on Twitter, if you send the right DM, if you get on the right flight to Peru, that you walk into a room and there's just cameras in there and they let you on TV.
When I saw you see yourself on the teaser episode, you were like, it was such a genuine reaction, and you were like, that's unreal. That's fucking unreal. And I feel like unreal is a word that like gets tossed around a lot now, and you forget like the true meaning of it, but it was like surreal. It was truly like you could see in his eyes that it was like he knew it was coming. He knew it was going to happen. But to see it on the TV is like, I cannot believe they allowed that to happen.
You know what I wonder is because they film a lot of cuts and a lot of stuff. It's like a sitcom or a movie or a show. Like a lot doesn't make the show. I wonder if they had a PA. Also, they're just like, well, why don't we also just film our regular guy too?
Yeah.
Or who we were going to use before, just in case it looks awkward, in case it looks weird. And I wonder if there was a chance that you weren't going to make the cut. And then they were like, no, we're going to go with my guy. We're going to go with him.
When I hear about actors who are like in a movie and excited, and then they're like, didn't make the cut. Yeah. Imagine they did it to you.
Dude, I was telling Brendan before we got started, I had convinced myself for 2.5 months, I was just telling myself I'm not going to be on. I'm just not going to be on.
Or like just your hand.
Just not
like
going to worry about it. I like to keep the expectations low. If I'm not on it, nobody knows that I was going to be there anyway, except a couple people in the office. And then a couple weeks ago, I got a text from the producer who I was with in Peru, who was kind of showing me how to do everything. He was like, all right, look for yourself in the teaser in week 6. I was like, it's fucking happening. But up until that point, I convinced myself so I wouldn't freak out about it, and I didn't want to be disappointed if I wasn't on. I'm just not going to be on. Whatever. I'll get them next time. They'll
mail
fly me
time,
out.
Man. Keep the bar as low as fucking possible. No expectations.
I have to do that because otherwise I'll be like,
but now are you starting to like let the imagination wander a little bit? Like,
Yeah. Because it happened and because the response has been so great. And
we don't have a response from them yet, right? We haven't. Was there like a producer or something to be like, whoa, like,
I mean,
holy
this
shit.
Guy is like, you know, didn't he post about it too?
Mills did.
Robert Mills, like, you know, the guy who cast him.
Yeah, Robert Mills. He's been excited about this, and he tweeted about it after it happened last night.
DM'd with him once.
I'm trying to pull it up.
I feel
right
like
here.
I was like, yo, fucking make this happen, Robert.
He said, okay. He said, due to the overwhelmingly positive response to Luggage Guy Trent, we are bringing him back next season. Only this time he will be doing it as his Clay, which involves Trent walking in, looking at the girls and saying in his Clay voice, I'm just going to pull this luggage. So he made it like into a joke about my Clay impression.
But like, again, enough that he took note and knew like, all right, I'm going to get this tweet off because like people are engaging and funny and all that.
I think it's going to happen. I would be stunned if it doesn't keep happening.
And I wonder like, too, if these are things where maybe that guy went to another producer and was like, I got a guy who's like right for the fit, and you know, maybe that dude was like, who is this guy? I don't get it. And he's like, trust me, like, just trust me, it's gonna work.
Yeah.
Like, you never know who you impress with this. You really never know who took note of it. I mean
Judd Apatow is on Instagram. That was like, I was about to go to bed, and people started tagging me under his tweet, and I was like, well, I don't know what this is about. And then I clicked on it, I was like, this is just a whole
different
thing. I
would send
now.
That right to Robert Mills and be like, yo,
I mean,
dude, like one of the goats. Is like taking note of my performance.
That was
the greatest. You know, he's like the greatest producer of the modern era. Like,
yeah, if you go through his IMDb, it's actually
joke.
It seems like it's fake.
It's deplorable. It's just fucking disgusting that they allowed one man to do all that in Hollywood. And the
really
amount
is.
Of people who like came out of his like, you know, from Rogan and Jonah Hill and all that shit, like his coaching tree.
Everybody,
is fucking
yeah, Seth Rogen's
bananas.
Gonna take over the world.
And now, fucking Trenton. Trent's now in the nice.
We got. I got to take advantage of it. I got
to
fucking
yeah. Now we got to put like
something.
Pedal to the metal on this one. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm going to make you say that you're going to start the after show again. You guys are sitting there anyway. You're watching in the gambling cave, right?
Yeah, we've watched the last two because we knew that the teaser was going
to
come out.
I'm going to put you on the spot and say I'm going to make you talk to Jen about it. Because it's like, I don't know, they might be like the live stuff is not as valued as it was. I think you should do it, but...
I want to do
it. He's got seniority. He's the senior guy.
He does.
Yes, at least have a conversation about it. And I'm like, Barstool does this shit where it's like every like 6 months there's a new like directive going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at that, when you were doing the after show, they decided at that time that like Facebook Live is not the way to go. Or that, like, I think at one point they were worried about how many viewers
they were trying
there was.
To hit a milestone. I'm pretty sure they were trying to get like to 1 million Facebook fans at that point. And it was confusing because every time you guys would go live, they would lose some. They would probably like lock in
so
on the Bachelor fans,
I mean.
But like the
like,
football fans would be like, what the fuck is this?
Right,
and they'd lose.
Right.
And it was like,
but
we are trying to
like
hit 1 million.
Your personal Periscope and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
Like the issues that were stopping you back then are gone now or not cared about anymore. Mm. So like, and I think, you know, we used to worry about like how many concurrent viewers and shit. I mean, how many fucking gambling streams are there where there's like a couple hundred people watching? Like, yeah. There's no reason not to. So I am going to make you at least ask the question.
I want to do it. Yeah. I think it would be, I mean, now is as good a time as ever.
Fucking watch that, man.
Yeah.
All of the people who reacted are into it enough to watch an after show. So like right there, you know that you have like 1,000 people off the bat right away.
Yeah.
You know, it is so fucking obvious to do it.
I'll have a conversation with Jen.
Here we go.
We'll talk about it to do it. Cause I want to do it. I mean, why not? We watched it here last night. It was, like, we probably should have been live streaming us watching it last
right,
night.
Right.
Because it was at least for the last, like, 15
minutes. Live streams we're doing here for stuff that, you know, it's like, you might catch a good moment, you might not. Let's do a whole live stream for it. It's like,
and I think it can be a little bit more casual than what we were trying to do. You know, like, we were, like, organizing it, trying to book guests. Now it's just, like,
the thing too,
sitting
though,
there.
Like, I don't know, if fucking Tyler C decides to stop by one day, motherfucker's gonna watch.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know why that guy's hanging around.
He's just
you should be fucking celebrities and shit, bro. You should be at the Soho House with Gigi Hadid again, man.
All I knew was that it would be hilarious if he was in the background of those videos.
Yeah.
I was like,
who is that? What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was just there and people were like, was that Tyler C? I was like, yeah. And made the video so much funnier.
Yeah. Right? And he was all into it and shit.
I mean, back then, remember when there was one time we had a whole panel?
Everybody.
We had like six people on. Like, those guys are,
you guys
they're picking up the phone when you call them.
Yeah, that's the good thing about that. The Bachelor Universe is everybody's kind of looking for, they want eyeballs. So it's not like Uber celebrities that come in here where they're like, I could take it or leave it, like whatever. I don't want to come in. Bachelor people are like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll go there.
Well, because the afterlife of Bachelor is followers and social media. And what do we do well is that.
I was like, engaged in negotiations to get Corinne on when she was at the top. I mean, it was like I was talking to her people. I was talking to ABC, Warner Brothers. Yeah,
what
it was like.
Speaking of writers, by the way,
now I think we'd be like send a text and she'd be come running.
Credit to Big Daddy Trent. He demanded to wear his khakis. The original Grim Reapers, they always all wear all black. And he was like, I know this is gonna sound weird, but I gotta wear these khakis. And credit to them for letting him do it.
Yeah.
Cause like that was part of it too. It's like he wore the uniform. He fucking wore the Big Daddy uniform.
I had to do it. Yeah, that was the one request I had. I was like, I know they always wear black, but I think I sent the emails like, this is not gonna make sense to you, but I wanna wear these khakis. And they sent back, they're like, all right.
And me and Rudy were saying, like, you gotta have a little bit of, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this guy has demands. He's somebody. Right. He's got thoughts.
I will say I was incredibly nervous that they were gonna email me back and be like, you're off the show. It's like, all right, I don't wanna
I mean, if they had said, just bring some black pants, okay?
I bought black pants. I went to Gap and bought black pants. I took a pair with me.
Yep.
I was ready.
Smart but
I
was
like, I feel like Trent sent that email and then just waited and had typed out. I just kidding. That was a mistake. And then like finally they were just like, yeah, no, that's fine.
You can wear your khakis, weirdo.
I'm pretty sure I was probably like, I want to wear khakis. And then under I would have been like, but if not, you know, it's fine. Whatever. Whatever. Either way, whatever gets me on TV to be the luggage guy, I'll fucking do it. I'll do it shirtless. I don't care.
I'm telling you, the reason why it's all going to work is because the reaction was so real from Bachelor and non-Bachelor fan. Even if you don't watch, the overwhelming response was, I'm so happy for Trent.
Of course.
Because
you
can tell when someone's got their passion. And I brought him on CCK, and it was like when Bob Fox got his McGregor shout out versus when Trent got on The Bachelor, like those were the two moments for those guys who were like, this is all I've ever wanted.
Yep.
And then you get it and you realize that there's like, you know, much more out there, like more opportunity. Like this was just the beginning. It's not all you've ever wanted. There's a lot more ahead of you. So that sort of shit, even the hardos who were like, that's for fucking pussies, that's gay.
You see,
they might still think
that
about
reposted?
The Bachelor, but they're happy for Trent because people get happy when they see people who are genuine and passionate see their plan through.
And it's bringing people together. You see boyfriends texting their girlfriends like, I'm watching The Bachelor. And she's like, babe, what?
Yeah.
What? This is amazing. Thank you so much. He's like, it's for Trent, but okay, cool. Yo, like, I'm glad you're happy.
You probably, there's probably going to be some babies out there who should be named Trent. Because there were probably some couples who watched together that night and had the best night of their relationship in a long time.
Check in 9 months.
Big little daddies are being born.
Yeah, like Super Bowl babies. That'd be great. Well, luggage guy babies.
A luggage guy baby boom in fucking 9 months. You kidding me? Check the fucking census in 9 months, man.
It is my favorite part when the guys are like, when guys will tweet at me and be like, I'm just watching because of you. Normally, I don't watch The Bachelor. That's a very cool thing to me. I like bringing, like, I think a certain part of it is bring the girls' audience a little bit to Barstool, yeah, and then take the guys and bring them into Bachelor.
On both sides.
And just sort of, yeah, I think that's part of it as well. It's just really nice when that happens.
And I guarantee that those guys coming over just for Trent were like, oh, that girl's a smoke, and oh, that one's crazy, and can you believe this guy handles this shit? And next thing you know, he's the one who's believe she got that rose, you know?
Watch something with your girlfriend or wife, and you just get enthralled by it. Like, even when my wife has, like, Real Housewives on or the Kardashians, I'm like, what the fuck is going on there?
Wait, what's she saying? The important thing of relationships, finding shows that guys and girls can watch together where they both are like, this is tolerable in some way. So, like, you know, your girl might watch a game every now and then, and she's, like, not totally into it, but she's okay with it. And then you watch The Bachelor, and you find some entertainment in it. And next thing you know, you're not fucking breaking up because right, you're happy together on Monday nights or now, like, 5 hours a week. It's fucking crazy. And they're like, yeah, we'll do another episode for 3 hours. Yeah. What?
And there seems to be no, what is it, the law of diminishing returns for at least my Bachelor tweets. Like, if it's 5 hours like it was last week, I'm getting the same engagement, same amount of people are watching. The fact that The Bachelor airs as much as it does, and they take like 5 months off, they don't really fuck with football. But the fact that it seems like cheating. Like, the fact that I can continue to just tweet about it.
It's like
the same
thing.
You
have a Super Bowl or an award show. Or
every week.
I mean, this is old school Twitter with Barstool, because now it's like there's so many people on Twitter. But like award shows, Olympics, Super Bowl, any like time there was national television that everyone was tuning into, it was like, okay, time to go to work. Mm-hmm. This is where you're going to gain as many followers as you did in the past month combined. This is where you're going to get all your engagement. You just have it like, I mean, that's why it's your sport. It's like, it's like PMT with Sundays. It's like yours is Mondays, and it's every night, every week, gear up. And yeah, it's not going to diminish because it's sports for a lot of it's like girls' sports. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The people are into it like that. So they're always going to watch and always engage, and you'll just be the one leading the charge.
It's just almost, that should be year round. They should just,
I mean, it basically is minus football, right?
Yeah, they should just do
like Tuesday nights during the winter. You know what I mean? Like, fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't have to compete with football.
I think, I still think it continues to get bigger, which is surprising because it's been going on for so long. And they've done spinoffs, like basically like Paradise being that. But I think like there's another one that they'll roll out for like football season where it won't be as big, but I think they'll do something. I don't know. It won't be like another Bachelor, Bachelorette, but it'll be something else. You know, like they did Bachelor Pad for a while, right? Which was like a little bit different.
Which is what turned into Bachelor in Paradise.
Right. And I think they'll find something else.
Their own show for a hot second.
Yeah.
You know, they should do a competition show.
Like the challenge.
Should be like something like the challenge, right?
Yeah, they already kind of do like challenge, like challenges within challenge it, stuff. So yeah,
they did do a Winter Games one, years ago.
And they brought in like
they brought in international.
Country.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
But listen, there's one thing to do, and it's Barstool has to produce it or a premium channel, and they got to go like uncensored with it.
Yeah,
they got to do. You got to be able to watch them fuck in the suite, but also just being able to, like, if they could be a little more real about like sex and cursing and fighting and shit like that, that would intrigue me.
Yeah.
Like some real reality TV type shit where like you see some of the, like the true, see a lot already, but I want to see, you know, people
this
melting
is,
down.
And
like,
you know,
fuck you.
You said
you sucked his dick, fucking all crazy shit like that.
You said Barstool should produce it. And I've always thought about this in terms of a show like this and like a spring break. We always want to like put the Barstool people in, right? There was talk about Hank. There was talk about Marty Mush being the Bachelor. I think we should cast it and then just be like the producers and just have that angle and have like the smoke shows, you know, the Instagram Barstool smoke shows where we cast it. Yeah. And then eventually you could put Marty in there or Hank in there or whoever. But I think we just cast it and have, you know, one of our guys host it. One of our guys be the judge on something, you know, like running commentary the whole time.
I'll be the Bachelor. Fuck it. I'll be the Bachelor.
I could see you too.
Let's do it. That'd be great.
Be like,
I'd host that show.
I'd be like, I'm tired. I gotta go to bed, girls. Like, we gotta get this date in. Like, I gotta watch Jeopardy. Then we can like hang out for like an hour, and then I gotta like eat cookies and go to sleep. If you want to fuck, we can. All right.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I got
depends
the
on tonight. Yeah. Depends on if I did last night. Like, I can't go back to back nights. All right. All right, man. Luggage guy Trent has arrived. So, my to-do list for you.
Okay.
It's email Jen about doing an after show.
All right.
You have to DM on a whim on a Hail Mary Judd Apatow and just say something funny.
Okay.
Or just be like, you know, that was cool, and like try to start a dialogue with him.
I like it.
And you have to email Robert Mills
yep.
with some ideas.
Okay.
some like, hey, the response was awesome. Don't want to like, you know, push my luck or whatever, mm-hmm. but you know, I think there's more to be done. How about give him two ideas?
Okay. Those are very doable.
Right. Those are attainable, achievable things.
I'm nervous about the Judd Apatow one, but
that's whatever. That's the least important, because like he's probably not going to respond or whatever. But yeah. Like, who knows if even if it was just like, hey man, thanks for like the tag, and he says like, yeah man, you know you've got a look to you, and you're like, oh yeah, What is funny is if there is any future, if there was like a future in that, let's just say, you know, the off chance, he probably in his mind is thinking like, all right, I got this role where like there's a henchman who strangles someone to death or something like that. And like, you're the farthest thing from that. But in his mind, you're like the enforcer.
He thinks I'm a cold-blooded killer. Yeah. He thinks I'm a serial killer. Because when you're the luggage guy, you have to, there's no smiling. You just got to play it straight. Walk in, arms, you know, I don't remember walking in like I told you guys because I'm pretty sure I blacked out. But you just got to walk in. Yeah, now you got to look fierce. It's not about me.
You're ruining someone's life.
I'm ruining someone's life. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, do those three things. Maybe we do this. Maybe we have Barstool people on and I force them to do things. It's a new mail time trend. All right, Big Daddy, Luggage Guy. I guess you're officially Luggage Guy. That's like the new nickname.
I changed my name on Twitter and I changed my Twitter avatar. I'm really
good. Oh, and the t-shirts. We got Luggage Guy t-shirts.
Buy them.
That was unbelievable. That was a trick drawing?
No, that was a girl who just like,
wow.
She's a graphic designer.
See?
I think her name was Leah Penny.
Unbelievable.
And she just like DM'd was like, we need shirts. Like, you got to make shirts. And I was like, okay. And I sent that to our merch people and they were like, yeah, let's do it. And we threw them up.
I mean, the people have responded. The people are talking.
Are ridiculous, but I love them, and please buy them.
I mean, they're going to be like one of those like collector edition type shirts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you got them, you're a real one.
Right.
Like, if you see that, it's like, fuck yeah.
You're in on the ground floor of the Luggage Guy if you buy that shirt.
Get in on the rocket. It's going to the fucking moon.
God
or to
damn.
Like Cancun to be a bachelor, to be a bartender.
I would do it. We'll talk to Wells.
I'm telling you, that's the angle to work, too. We're going to make this fucking happen. Follow Big Daddy on every Monday night for his tweets and his eventual after show, which will be happening in a matter of weeks.
Thank you for having me on.
You got it.